Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap of the slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bill Polian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Is she looking at me now?
No.
How about now? Is she looking over here now?
No.
What about now? Is she looking now?
No, she's not looking at you, dude. Will you quit asking me if she's looking at you? She hasn't looked at you. Wait, she just looked.
See what I'm saying, man?
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Ow! What the hell are you kicking me for? Fine, I'll ask her. You want me to ask her, ma'am? Where do the high school girls hang out around here?
Paul Perillo.
The scotch on the rocks, please. Any scotch will do. As long as it's not a blend, of course. Single malt. Glenlivet, Glenfiddich, perhaps. Maybe even Glengow. Any Glen.
And Andy. And Andy?
Look, we're going to spend half the night looking for this one party, and you're going to say it sucks, and we're all going to leave, and then we're going to go look for this other party. But all the parties and all the bars, they all suck. I spent half the night talking to some girl who's looking around the room to see if there's somebody else who's more important she should be talking to. And it's like I'm supposed to be all happy because she's wearing a backpack.
Andy Hart.
You know, and half of them are just nasty skanks who wouldn't be nothing except they're surrounded by a bunch of drunken, horny a**s. I'm not going to be one of those a**s.
Eric Scalavino. For now, anyway.
When you go up to talk to her, man, I don't want you to be the guy in the PG-13 movie everyone's really hoping makes it happen. I want you to be like the guy in the rated R movie, you know? The guy you're not sure whether or not you like yet. You're not sure where he's coming from, okay? You're a bad man. You're a bad man. You're a bad man.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
You know what, big boy? You're grown up. You're grown up. Yeah, dig that. Because you're grown up and you're grown up and you're grown up.
The world. Welcome to PFW in Progress. We're all grown up.
We got half of your opening.
Why? You didn't hear it?
Just missed a little bit.
Oh, the well.
You got clipped.
Started with cum. You got clipped a little bit.
Okay.
Start. What?
What?
The well was cut off.
Anyway, welcome.
Get your mind out of the gutter.
Progress.
C-O-M-E. It's the end of welcome.
We'll be here until 2 o'clock. It's game day here. Even though it's a preseason game, and that's something that we should put on the table today. A lot of talk today about the owner's meeting, talk about 18-game schedule, so that's on the table. Talk about that because it has direct ramifications on the future of preseason in the NFL. Obviously, the Patriots are playing the Rams tonight here at Gillette Stadium, so we'll talk about that.
And I think ESPN's on board with me. I just saw a tease that popped up on the screen. NFL QB star matchups or something, and I'm wondering if they're talking about the Sam Chais versus Brady. I see it up on the scroll. Rams-Patriots is coming up.
All right.
They think he's special, too.
Couple,
well, I don't anymore, but they...
So. It was taken with the first overall pick, so I'm assuming St. Louis
thinks
everyone
sucks but me. Some news topics today. Stephen Gostkowski, now a Patriot for at least another 4 years after this year. Logan Mankin, still no movement there, and it's not looking good. And some other things. I don't know. What else? What else we got on the table today? I'm setting the table.
I think you did a good job of setting the table.
Is that what we do? We set the table?
You did.
Napkins are there.
We don't have a table.
Unfortunately, we don't have the food yet.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's a table with no food on it.
Right.
You know what? Today I told him to concentrate on getting the show.
And it seems like, well, it's hard for us to really tell.
Do you have internet today, Kevin?
We're good.
We're good.
We're online. We're streaming.
Yeah. You even have the net?
Although,
yes, sir.
The equipment, he was going over the equipment today that's just failing in there that we need to replace.
It's not operator error.
No. These things are just, it reminds me how long we've actually been on the air. We're one of the longest running shows on radio, on internet.
On
radio.
Internet radio.
On internet.
We're the longest running Patriots based internet radio show.
We got that going for us.
No, not even Patriots based. I would imagine that.
Are we the longest running internet radio
among
show?
Among IP only shows, I'll bet you we're among the longest running.
Who's been longer?
At least 2000, right?
Who's been strictly on the web for longer?
So 10 years.
Yeah, we win. We have.
Okay, so there.
No breaks. We've been doing it continuously for a decade.
Our listeners are always, there's always somebody out there in our listening audience that knows whatever the subject matter, the answer. Is there a longer, continuously running IP-only radio show?
I bet you there's some whack job, like some guy who thinks the world's going to end and he's been saying
maybe
it every week for.
But I'll bet you it can't
internet
be much longer than ours, you know?
Well, the internet only started like
right
shortly.
Well, the
before
internet did, but the World what Wide is, Web started
right
about 95.
What is the universe of IP-only radio shows, though?
Oh, there's a ton.
I really am immature.
Right,
just
really?
IP.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm including like podcasts in that, you know.
Yeah, but those are all Johnny Come Latelys.
No, but
crossovers.
It's
and,
well,
huge.
That's why he's saying we're the long.
Yeah, we are. I'm just saying
running
we're the longest running.
Yeah.
Fred, do you have our latest ranking on the iTunes podcast thing?
Well, I don't know about. Well, for
speak when spoken to.
DFW in Progress yesterday was like 133 in
slipping
sports podcasts. You know,
we're slipping.
So
slipping.
It's tough because you're going up against a lot of.
Yeah, Dan
traditional
Patrick
radio stations that also do podcasts.
Right.
So,
who have big name shows, and by the way, most of them get big name guests to go on big name show. We got four idiots eating lunch.
Well, from what I understand,
sorry, three idiots.
From
and
what
you
I understand,
lunch
we're not going to be taking phone calls anymore because they ruined the flow
well,
of the show.
One guy promised us lunch if we didn't take.
We
a
had
certain,
we did have some phone calls.
Yeah, sorry, Mike from Puerto Rico. We can't talk to you for a month because we'll get a free lunch out of it.
Excellent listener on listener crime last week.
Yeah, I
good stuff.
That.
Oh, no, it was Tuesday, not last week.
Yeah, it was Tuesday.
Earlier this week.
Okay.
Good stuff, good stuff.
I had to miss 90 minutes of last show. Anything else happened good that I missed?
No.
No?
No.
All right.
Just that.
I mean, it was a typical
a
good
show.
All right. Well,
all our shows are good.
What about the Aaron Andrews thing?
Oh, yeah, Aaron Andrews came on and totally spun the show off course.
Didn't come on the show, but right we talked about it because she was on television.
Okay.
Paul and Andy lost focus for a while.
Five.
Fred just lost focus right there.
She's a good-looking girl.
Yes.
But her looks are enhanced by the fact that she's a sports reporter, don't you think?
No.
No?
I think she's just hot.
I think she's pretty hot.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
she passes the mall test. If I saw her at the mall, I would stop.
You don't think she has a Susie Colbert effect?
Oh, no. Susie Colbert is hot for a sports
Susie Colbert has, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You mean compared to other women
yeah
in the industry?
If you're looking at good looking.
You would not turn twice
right
in, you know, in
the mall
in
test.
The
those two walking
right
down the mall, you'd look at Aaron Andrews, you wouldn't at Susie Colbert.
Okay. All right.
I could always eat your salad.
508-543-7482 is the phone number. Don't call because we're not taking calls anymore. No, I'm only kidding. And web
Mike
radio
in Puerto Rico, do not call.
Web
we
radio at
it
patriots.com is the email address. Do email because we always take your emails and we have a lot of them.
A lot of emails.
But let's talk a little bit first about Gostkowski. Reports, Mike Reese, I think, was the first one last night to find out that the Patriots have extended his contract 4 years.
$3.5 million
per. Do you read anything into this? I mean, because we hear all this talk about, you know, Logan Mankins and, you know, is it just, hey, good?
Well, I think
or do we look into any further?
I think they were planning on giving him an extension anyway. I mean, he was
right
he was worthy
well,
of
sure
he was worthy of one certainly.
And he got the Mankins deal. He's among the highest paid in the game.
Right.
He's, whatever it is, third, fourth, it's the same kind of contract for his position, but I have a hard time people like it's Mankins related and it proves if you came and played ball. It's apples and oranges. Kickers don't get hurt on the practice field. Kickers don't get hurt in games. Logan Mankin's career could have ended on the first snap of training camp. That's where the comparison falls flat. A kicker can risk it all because he's not really risking. There's the rare ACL that blows out for some random reason, but even that, they come back the next year and kick.
Yeah, I think when Bill Gramatica celebrates. You know,
right.
I think that the message to Mankins is a byproduct.
Yeah.
Of it, a natural byproduct, but
right
it wasn't the main reason for signing, re-signing Gostkowski.
He's a good kicker. Right. They gave him a deal that, you know, clearly they're offering guys that are among the best in the game, among the best in the game. Wilfork got one. Mankins didn't want one. Gostkowski got one.
And you can't get too lost in the message. And I listen, I talked about this last night.
With who?
You on the hub.
Who? You're moonlighting on us now.
But the
it's no longer just leaving the show. You're doing it at
not
night.
Moonlighting. He's sunshining it on us too.
You do have to.
He leaves at 2 o'clock sometimes.
Wow!
He's on the radio.
This from
just
guys
so
up,
you know, he hasn't left at 2 o'clock in a long time, and it's kind of a sore spot.
Right.
Subject.
Number one, number two. I walk around the corner yesterday to talk to these two clowns. Both of their chairs neatly tucked in under their desks. I looked at Maura. I go, where did everybody go?
Oh, I had daycare pickup.
That was way.
Well, I had the big show, you know, 8 months ago.
You used to have the big show.
I said 8 months ago. Anyway.
And even then you didn't because they said, sorry, we got somebody else. Go home.
Oh, that was like 3 weeks ago.
It was in the parking lot, ready to go inside.
The whole message thing.
Did he say take care of you after that?
you do have to take into consideration they made him the offer.
Right.
So it's not like
Mankins. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, like you can sit there and say, well, if you do it this way, they'll take care of you. Now they're not. Well, they made him an offer, and if Mankins accepted the offer, we wouldn't be saying, see, that's the right way or the wrong right. way to do it. So I do think, like Eric said, it's a nice byproduct.
Yeah.
You know, it's a nice, you can sit there and say, you can show it to everybody, oh, this is the way. You can show your locker room. Yeah. Gostkowski kept his mouth shut. He got an extension. Mankins made a stink, and he didn't. That might not exactly be accurate, but that's a good message for the rest of the guys in that locker room who might be up.
And it piggybacks on the Wilfork deal.
Sure.
Because, I mean, it was a little bit
different. Who kind of split the difference.
He kind of split the difference.
Kind of made a stink, but then showed up for everything he had.
He signed, he said some things, but then it quickly cooled off.
Like you said it perfectly. He did what he had to do.
Right.
He said he was upset.
Made his feelings known, but.
But he still.
But he didn't call anybody names.
You know, I know Mankins didn't use the word liar, but. I mean, we're all big kids. Yeah, we can read the semantics. He basically called their word into question.
If you don't live up to your word, you lie.
Right.
You know?
Right. You know, Will Fork didn't do anything.
I have a question. Could he play in the UFL?
Mankins?
Yeah.
He would really then violate his contract.
He doesn't have a contract.
No, his rights, because if he got hurt, I guess he could. Yeah.
He's technically like us. He's not an NFL player
right
now.
Well, it was
no
like Eric Gajcik. His rights were owned by a UFL team.
Right.
His UFL rights, I should say.
I don't want to get into that.
No, but I mean, he didn't want to get into it.
He didn't want to get into anything. Yeah.
But I think you can. I think it's. It seems like it's perfectly legal.
I could almost see him doing something like that. Like, if he feels like this was a big FU by signing Gostkowski, well, you know what? I'll show you, and I'll sign with Eric. Said there's a team in Sacramento that's not too far from his home.
The Mountain Lions.
The Mountain Lions. Make $38,000 and say screw you. It wasn't about money.
About 2 weeks ago, I said, you know, there's still a chance that Mankins could. I don't think there's any chance.
No chance.
What made you think that, though?
I just thought that, you know, over time, he's sitting at home and he's like, you know what? I should be playing football. Let's just get something done. And he comes, and he picks up the phone, or his agent picks up the phone, and
I think he would have to be the one to pick up the phone again.
But now at this point, I don't think he's.
You think he really thinks about it?
I would.
I don't know.
Could you not think about?
I can kind of picture him getting up at 4 a.m.
Yeah,
and
taking care of
throwing hay bales and doing this, and all of a sudden the sun goes down and his day as a farmer ended.
Yeah, but this is, you know, the career that you've. Aspire to. And,
I'm not sure he did.
And all of a sudden,
I think he played football because it happened.
Yeah, but then all of a sudden,
he has said that.
Yeah,
actually.
I don't think he gives a rat's
like, control. It's almost like a means to an end.
Yeah,
that was before you know $45 million or whatever it is was right in front of you.
But
it's hard to forget.
But
about.
He can't get it.
I don't
now.
Think he cares.
Well, he could if he.
Oh, I don't think. Yeah. I don't. I'm not sure about that.
I think if he came back groveling,
said I'll take the offer.
I think he would rather have his $7 million and sit. Like Andy said,
so for
then
1 year.
No, but the answer, the question from Andy was, do you think he thinks about it? I think he does.
I don't think he loves football.
Yeah,
I don't
either.
I don't think he does either
at all.
But
I think he loves it when he's playing.
That's why
I don't think he loves it.
Still a chance, but now I'm second guessing myself. I don't think there's a chance.
Yeah, I could literally see him just being on the farm doing his. I think he loved that. I mean, all his stuff was the horse roping and the cattle this and the. I think that's what he was born to do in that family.
I could
you
easily
can buy an awful lot of horses and cows.
But here's
for
the thing,
money
Fred.
That he
but
had.
He's got him.
But he has an awful lot.
Here's what
how much
I could see him sitting out the season because he has enough to do that. He has more than enough to do that. And even if there's a lockout for any period of time next year, eventually he's going to be a free agent.
Right.
And eventually somebody is going to sign him, and he'll get a lot more money, and he'll have taken a year and a half off.
He could
even if he just collects the guarantee on the next contract,
you could argue he'd be in
fine.
A better spot. He'd be fresher and
exactly
got a chance to.
And even if he didn't get a big
a
deal,
bit.
He'll get a million and a half
he'll
something
get a
to play.
Deal. Like, and all he cost himself this year was a million and a half.
Right,
it's like 1.8 or something like that.
I'm not sure he's the a Ty Law type or anybody who needs to be on the stage of the NFL and it's part of their fabric.
Right.
I think he grew up dreaming of being a horse wrangler and a farmer.
Well, it could be, and that could be another reason why this thing ain't going to get done.
He's like the opposite. We always talk about, you know, fans always say, well, how many millions does this guy need, you know? And usually I would say, well, however the guy wants, whatever the guy has the ability to make, if he wants it, I don't hold that against him. That's life. It's human nature. Most people want to have the most lucrative occupation they can. Well, I think he's the opposite. If he's content with his life and it's not important to him, I'm not going to hold that against him either.
So why was it so important for him to get the Jari Evans deal?
I think it's respect.
I think for
it's cowboy.
And I don't think he's right.
Belt buckle.
We've talked about this. We all don't really.
I'm the best. You tell me I'm the best.
But
I think it's
I think Andy's hits it right.
It's a different kind of ego, swagger. It's the cowboy version of that.
He also may have listened to his agent telling him. You know, his agent wants to get the biggest cut he can as well.
The agent seems
to be... So the more he gets, the more the agent gets...
Out to lunch.
I mean, the more the player gets, the more the agent gets,
obviously.
It's
unfortunate. It really is. Like I said, I don't think it has a shot right now.
I don't either.
I don't either. I didn't think it did from the day he made those comments.
From the day he said, I don't need to be here anymore.
Yeah, that was it. It ended that day.
I thought his days as a Patriot were over that day.
I've heard people say crazy stuff.
Yes,
but not him.
Not him.
Not a guy like him.
You know, I'll take it in the universe of crazy things that... It ended up getting done anyway. I say, hey, it'll probably get done anyway. It's an offensive. But this guy,
he's different.
Yeah, he's
just cut from a different cloth.
You know, can I
go
on a tangent?
Punch in the nuts as soon as say hello.
Yes.
a little bit of a tangent here. You guys brought up something you don't think, I think, Andy, you said it. You don't think football was that important to him. He just kind of stumbled into it. Not that he doesn't like playing football.
I think whatever he does to his best. But I don't think he lays in bed at night and says, oh, I was made to be a guard in the NFL.
Did you ever think, I mean, there were a lot of guys like that in the league, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of them are offensive linemen. I'd like to, you know, it's kind of an intangible thing to qualify who it's important to, who it's not, and then it's almost impossible. But I think Matt Light is a lot like that. I don't think Matt Light is a guy that bleeds football. Now, he's been a great Patriot.
Yeah.
He's been a very solid citizen in the locker room and done all the things, worked hard, been a starter his entire career. I don't think he loves football.
Well, we know Dan Conley is because he said he played in college because I played in high school.
Because I played.
And I liked it.
Just
they're
by
big.
Team.
In other words, what I'm trying to say is these guys are big and they feel like, well, that's a great means to an end. I can make a lot of money doing something because I'm physically gifted. And then when I'll walk away, I'll have this money and I can do something
And
else.
A lot of them are pretty blue-collar guys who they're going to have to do something maybe hard work. You know, they could be laborers, they're construction workers. So I'm going to use my body either way. I might as well make 10 times as much as I would make.
Fun doing it. You know,
instead of making 40 grand, I'm making 400 grand.
Just on this team, you know, you look at number of people who have retired before the season starts. Offensive linemen
lead
that list.
Right.
Oh, God,
because they get to a point, it's like, you know what? Practice for them is not the same for a wide receiver where, it's grueling. They're you know, they have to be in condition. But, man, when you're a lineman, every rep is like, I'm going against some guy that's some other behemoth, and it taxes you.
Plus, it's thankless.
Body. Yeah.
Most of them don't make a ton of money.
Nobody knows
so that
they
you're
are.
Not giving up, like, $5 million. You're probably giving up, you know, depending on the year range, between $300,000 and $800,000 or something.
Yep.
And you're getting beat up physically every day. You're not going to be on SportsCenter.
Right.
You're not going to miss the limelight because there's no limelight for you. It was never there for most of them.
Right.
So what are you missing? I'm missing beating the hell out of myself.
Right, and that's a good one, the limelight that attracts the people like Ocho Cinco and Favre. That's not there for linemen.
No, so.
You know, unless you're on a defensive side and you're a sack master. You know?
And
that makes them laugh.
It is kind
I
of,
said sack.
No, but it is kind of funny with
he can't help it.
It's kind of funny with Mankins because on the field he is – The exact kind of football player you want.
Yes.
Oh, no
mean.
Question.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he plays with that attitude. But
consistent.
As soon as the game ends, it's like, you know, I got to go home now.
Throw on my boots and jeans and get the hell out.
Got to get in the truck.
But that's fine, too. But, you know, it's too bad. Anyway, so Mankins, I'm writing off. Gostkowski, good signing. Good to get your kicker under wraps. One less thing to worry about. There's no word on the Brady thing. But... who knows? Maybe they could get that done before the season. You know, you never know.
Sure.
You got what?
This time next week.
About 17 days until the season
This time starts? Next week, because I'm going to guess that they're probably going to be a little less focused for that group. They'll have some preparation time as they work on the Bengals next week in practice. I don't think they'll play a whole lot, if at all. I don't think they'll play at all, really, Brady specifically, against the Giants. That might be a time to...
Sure.
Circle on your calendar that area
is there
that Thursday, Friday.
So funny, I really couldn't care any less about it. Like,
well, see, because
I just think of it as
I agree with you.
He's going to get it.
I want to watch football.
Yes. Like, yeah. But I would care more if I had a fear that there was some issue.
Fred, you're blowing it off. I mean, you're just because you're so sure that he's going to resign.
No, I'm right now.
If you didn't think he was going to resign, you wouldn't just be saying, I'm just going to watch football.
Of course not. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying right now, because I think it's going to get done, I'm so focused on let's get the games going.
Yeah.
It's
a foregone conclusion.
Yeah, it's not in the front of my.
I'll fill in the numbers. Yeah. Now, I'm a little bit intrigued by the reports that Darrell Revis is going to get $160 million with $65 guaranteed and thinking, okay, maybe there will be an issue signing Brady, because if he gets that, then. Yeah. Quarterbacks generally are the highest paid, so and now you're talking $175 million with $75 guaranteed.
Well, that's what you risk when the longer you wait.
Right.
Is someone makes a landmark contract. And I'm not even, he hasn't signed that yet, Revis. That's reports.
It's rumor at this point.
Good segue into Hard Knocks, which we need to talk about.
But I'm not even going to call it a reckless signing or a foolish signing. I mean, I think he's an excellent player. I think that's where salaries are going. 10-year contract, that's a long time. You know, I don't know how much he gets those guarantees over, you know, is that the first three? Because that's really a lot of money quickly. $65 million is a big guarantee.
It's a $20 million jump from Asamoah is basically 3 years, $45 million, basically guaranteed. He's going to get all of it. So that's a $20 million jump, $6 million per year guaranteed jump on a three-year. And he's a guy who was not a free agent, was not close to a free agent, is still playing out a rookie deal. I'd be scared.
As crazy,
senseless to sign that deal if I'm Tannenbaum or.
As from a player's perspective, as terrible as it must be to have to play in Oakland, you get paid.
Oh yeah,
you get paid.
Yeah. Especially
what
if you're a specialist.
You yeah, if you're a punter, a kicker, whatever.
16
cornerback
million,
doesn't matter.
Janikowski got.
They both did.
Yeah.
I believe it's an identical contract.
That's pretty much
that
the identical. Lechler and Janikowski.
The Lechler one's really dumb. I mean, at least the kicker
punt
can
a
win
lot.
James.
So what? They love
if you're
going to
be good at it, you might have, you know, good at something.
Anybody watch Hard Knocks last night?
No. Don't spoil
know.
It. No? Don't spoil it.
I don't have HBO.
I'll be watching it. Not tonight, because there's a game.
Okay, so then we can't talk about it.
No, we can't.
No.
That's not good. That's kind of like homework. You guys need to be watching.
I don't have HBO, Fred.
I'm not talking about you. You still have rabbit ears. Do you have a TV,
he
Eric?
He just dismisses you, Eric. You're like Thomas Clayton, just dismissed.
That's not right. No.
Do you have a TV at home? TV. Now he's going to
pout. No, he's like Brad. He's going to homeschool his kids.
Now he's not talking. So, anyway, I watched
it. Well, Howie's not listening.
And now I can't talk about it, which is too bad.
Okay, talk about it.
It's a disservice to our fans.
The show's overrated anyway.
I'm sure most of our fans
saw it. I don't think it is.
I do.
Where's lunch, by the way?
I think it's really well done, and it's compelling.
I think the show is very well done. I agree with
Paul, did you watch last night?
I didn't watch.
You're not going to like last night's episode.
Why?
It has a little bit to do with hazing.
Oh, my God. I was even squeamish there.
Oh, really?
I really was, yeah.
It's funny.
Where's lunch, by the way,
Kevin? Tell, just go.
I was
just
getting,
talk.
I was getting uncomfortable.
People, stop listening for a few
it's
minutes
not a
if you don't want to hear Hard
Knocks. Anyway, I mean, it's
yeah, it's been rerun probably 10 times.
And it's on demand.
I did my homework, Fred.
Thank you.
Oh God.
No, there's one guy.
But you didn't get us lunch.
This guy named Clowney.
It's coming.
Who's on the bubble. He's a special teamer. They want him to do more, and so they're really, really pushing him. But he's also mouthy. He's really mouthy and like.
Come
a lot
on,
of,
a wide receiver's
yeah,
mouthy.
A lot of guys have been complaining about him. They said we're going to really have to cut him down today. So
he's
one
not
of,
a rookie.
Wait a minute,
he's not a rookie.
He's not a rookie.
He's not a rookie. I didn't say he was a rookie.
Oh no, he's no, like but, a third year guy. Yeah.
That's the weird part. Then if he got hazed,
yeah,
it's not really hazing now. Now it's more.
Is this the guy?
Blanket
am I, am
party
I right?
Type
was
stuff.
It Clowney that I'm talking about here, or was it another guy?
I think it was him. I was falling asleep, but
well,
I think it was.
Well, that's
him.
A different issue.
Glad you didn't get
home. This doesn't really fall under
one of their guys
hazing.
Yeah.
It's the year
really
seven hazing that you guys like.
After the practice, one of the linemen put him in a bear hug, and everyone else got him. They hogtied him, you know, his feet to his wrist to his ankles, strung him up on the goalpost. So, like, he's still on his back, but his legs are up in the air, strung him up, and then proceeded to, like, pour every God-known liquid on this body that you could imagine, from Flexol to Icy Cold Gatorade to baby powder. I mean,
to me, we've crossed the line over into assault.
This guy,
so it's tar and feathering,
yeah,
basically.
Yeah, basically tar and feathering with whatever they had on hand.
A non-rookie.
Yeah.
So it's not even a rookie tradition.
Now I might,
and it's assault.
I might be wrong. I thought it was David Clowney. I could be wrong.
Either way, it's terrible. The Jets are done.
Wow. Yeah.
So
that's the kind of stuff that builds divides in teams.
Yeah.
That doesn't bond teams.
Yeah, no.
Well, then he had a fumble recovery on a punt in the game, and so that was kind of like the... Oh,
yeah,
well,
and I would have said F you.
Yeah. But that was I was a little uncomfortable.
But they
there.
Did it. Good Lord,
Tony Dungy will be calling.
Really mouthing off to everybody.
Who cares?
Yeah,
there's
yeah.
ways to do it that aren't. That's more blanket party.
Paul is
type. That's
yeah.
like
disgusted.
No, I'm not.
No,
I think I agree with Andy.
Yeah.
I resign. I think like that about all of it. Not
he
just...
thinks haircuts are assault.
Well, carrying pads. Are...
Right, or carrying pads is assault.
Basically, all of the things that Andy's describing about the aftermath is how I feel it can be taken in any regard.
Yeah.
I don't pick and choose. Right. That's the only difference.
There's no way that that's good. It's either bad if you keep the guy,
I totally
he holds
agree.
A grudge.
I agree with you.
Yeah. Or if you cut him, you were just bullying. Yeah. I mean...
And then the other thing that made me uncomfortable in a stupid way was they show the overview of they're at Cortland where they have their
oh you saw the garbage cans
no yeah. So they're inside and they're all training inside, they do weight training and but set up on the side they have a line of treadmills, and there's Woody Johnson next to Rex Ryan next to Tannenbaum all doing their workouts, and I'm like, oh my God, this is disgusting.
That is disgusting.
You know, Woody Johnson, just go away. You're not cool. You're not one of the guys. Get out of there. Tannenbaum's another guy. He's on the field, like, talking to players like, you need to know what Mike Westhoff, you know, eats for breakfast if
yes.
you're going to make this
I actually
team.
Told Paul that.
You know, it's like, shut up. Go back into your accounting office and, you
I
know,
agree.
Sharpen your pencils. Yeah.
I thought what you needed to know was your assignment on a particular play.
He's
not
a
what
dink.
A coach is eating for breakfast.
Total
you
dink.
Have three ways to make this team.
Special teams.
Special teams. Special teams. And special teams.
Yeah.
And in case you forgot, it's special teams.
And I want you to know what Mike Westhoff had for
and
breakfast.
And you know the player's thinking, just shut up.
Yeah.
Shut
yes.
Yeah.
Go,
get
sharp,
out of here.
Go sharpen a pencil.
Yeah. If Rex Ryan tells me that, I'm listening.
Yeah.
Not you. You know? Ugh.
He's done a pretty good job.
I guess, you know.
He's collected talent.
Look,
I don't know if he'll win,
right.
But as Pioli would say, he's collected talent.
Look, if your owner says just go do whatever you need to do.
No, but I'm even going draft picks. The guy's drafted.
Interesting that you
brought
Pioli up there.
Yeah.
Why?
That's how I think of both of those guys.
Well, I would say Pioli is failing to collect talent.
Get off the field.
I'm now reading about guys that weigh 6'2",
okay.
260 are going to start over Glenn Dorsey and Tyson
Jackson.
I
was wrong as usual. And Greg in Long Meadow says it wasn't David Clowney. It was Brian Jackson who's a cornerback. A rookie.
Yeah. Oh.
Still assault.
Yeah,
but
it is. But
yeah. So
mildly more understandable.
But did David
but only mildly.
Do something in the show that
they were
made
yelling
you think
at
of...
him too about making the team?
Fred, as usual, I was wrong.
Yeah, I gotta think that's gonna have some backlash because that is not normal hazing for any football team. That is above and beyond. That's assault.
And it's on video now.
And it's on video, yeah. And you're proud of it. You're putting it out there on...
I mean,
if Tony Dungy was mad that the guy was swearing, what's he going
to
say about
when,
this?
When they dragged him over to the goalpost, I really thought they were going to literally, you know, haul him up and really string him up by his legs and have him hanging. They had his legs up, but his back was still on the ground. But still, what they did to him was like...
I mean,
it was in his face and everything.
That's like a half a step away from the things that all these high schools get in real trouble
and,
for.
And at the end, there's a clip at the end.
Sticks out?
They have two cups on his chest full of liquid. And, like, obviously the slightest movement's going to knock... They didn't say what was in those cups, but I have a good idea.
What?
What?
Urine?
I'm just guessing. Why would they do that if it was just water? You know?
The Jets are.
It's great.
Yeah.
So you guys all.
See,
that's what they did in 1920. We got to keep doing
that's
it.
That's not what we said.
No, and
we
it's
never
not what
said
they did
that.
In 1920.
Yeah, it's great
Fred,
tradition.
Fred, we get a dilemma. In all, everybody, we actually have a dilemma.
We don't have lunch.
No, lunch is on the way. It's going to be here in like 10 minutes. But Mike in Puerto Rico is on the line. What do we
Sorry.
Do?
Nope.
Well,
all right,
you know,
we got lunch.
No, listen,
Mike, will you buy lunch if we let you on? Ask him if he'll buy lunch if
Mike
we let him on.
Mike is going to call at 508-543-7482. We got to let him on.
No, wait a minute. What? It's supply and demand. We have an offer.
Yes.
We have an offer that if we do not allow Mike on for a month, we get lunch from that guy who says that.
Right.
If he wants to come
Mike
on.
Mike can counter that. Say, I'll buy lunch
two
three
lunches.
Times.
I say if he even matches the one we put him on.
So what do you say, Mike?
You want me to put him on?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go.
What do you say, Mike?
But if he says no.
Mike?
Either for entertainment or...
He's been having a conversation for the last 10 minutes.
Who, are you talking to another radio show right now?
No, I'm talking to you guys.
Oh, we only heard the end. Entertainment. What were you saying?
Repita, por favor.
Okay, you know, I bought lunch before, and I have no problem buying lunch, but I can't believe I'm being given this ultimatum.
That's true. Mike has bought lunch.
That's true.
Once you buy lunch, you're a made man.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
We got a lot of made men.
You're
yeah.
a made man once you buy lunch, so you can't.
And who's that SOB?
Who was it?
I forgot who it was.
He's looking at me. There's zero chance I would remember.
There's a guy in New Hampshire, Goffstown.
It might have been him, yeah.
Jack?
Dave?
Travis.
Jack?
Travis in Goffstown.
We came up with three different names.
I think it was the guy, just call him Phil.
I can't believe I'm that polarizing. I'm sorry. I apologize, I guess, but for being such a diehard fan and having opinions. And, you know, I apologize if that's frowned upon over at the greater New England area.
Wow.
That was a Rick Pitino-esque apology.
So what do you got today, Mike?
Yeah, make it quick. Let's go. Oh.
That was first, Eric. I just heard the debate that you guys had on immigration a while ago.
Oh my God!
This is why people don't like you, Mike.
Right, listen, this is why. You know, we got to stay on topic here.
Okay, then I'll just talk about current stuff, I guess.
Yes.
Okay.
That's kind of the point of live radio.
Reading your blogs and reading all the info that's on regarding the offense. How close are we going to get to 2007 with the weapons that we have here? Given that the tight ends fulfill their promise, Tate and Taylor step up.
I don't know.
I don't think close.
The fact that
how close do you think they were to 2007 last year?
Last year?
Yeah.
From 1 to 100, maybe 65.
Okay, then I'll put it around 75 then.
Yeah, I would go 75 to 80. I think they're going to be significantly better this year.
I do too.
I don't know how close that gets you to. I'm on record as saying I think that was special. Just
76
a special
touchdowns,
season.
So whatever the amount, 74
everything
touchdowns.
Went the right way. Every big play went the right. Everything happened
mostly healthy.
The right way. Yeah. Yeah, I doubt that'll happen. You're right. There'll be injuries. Hernandez is already hurt. We all think he's going to be a part of the offense. Special seasons.
Got a back injury.
Oh, would you stop?
This guy wants to.
Unbelievable.
He gets mad because
Fred Kirsch like praying for injuries. That's ridiculous.
That is. I'm mad about that. That's
zero
to
hot.
Take that back.
They're going to fight.
I called you Kirsch like.
No, because you said yes. Because I'm rooting for injuries.
No,
because
yes.
Take that back.
Sorry. Go ahead, Mike.
No, I thought we'd be a lot closer because all I keep hearing about is Tate is grabbing, you know, catching everything in sight. Taylor is going to bring that. I'm sorry?
Did you say Tate is grabbing everything in sight?
Yeah, that he's doing, you know, he's doing nice catches. He's having problems putting his feet in bounds.
I wouldn't get too excited about Price or Tate yet.
Yeah, I agree.
They've shown flashes, but nowhere near the consistency that
the tight end
Stallworth had back in that 07 that, you know, that's
right.
The kind of position you need to fill in order to, you know, be as good as they were back then.
I'd be more excited about the tight ends. I think Hernandez, if healthy, is the third option. We talked about this on Tuesday, probably after you left.
It could be.
That's the third guy because he can do all the – he can go out wide. And it was really interesting this week, and Andy has been all over it because G-Force. With Hernandez out of practice, it's been Gronkowski doing all those things out wide, in the slot, coming out of the backfield, catching – I mean, he must have caught literally – 40 or 50 passes in the 2 days that we got to see them. And I don't recall even a single one, I said this on Tuesday, that was not complete thrown in his direction.
Wow.
He has great hands.
Smooth.
Great mobility.
He's Moss-like.
And he's got great size. I think he's the total package of that at that position.
Right.
I think
he is going to be a star if healthy.
One
of the, you know, if those tight ends emerge, that's something that they didn't have necessarily in 07 that you could say, okay, you know, I do still worry about the running game, the consistency of the running game, and you need all the – 07, man.
It was special.
That was special. You know, we keep saying, oh, it's going to happen again. It probably won't. Where you have a quarterback have
07 was special, but just look at it on a personnel basis. Randy Moss and Wes Welker, they're a wash. They were here in 07.
Neither one of them is as good as they were in 07.
That's right.
Exactly.
Well, Welker may or may not be. We don't know.
Well,
but Moss
3 years of wear and tear. Two plus years of wear and tear since then.
Okay. You can make an argument Brady's not as good as he was in 07 after his knee surgery.
But, I mean, factually, there's no way Welker is going to be the – he may produce the same. I'm not saying he can't. But physically, he's admitted the brace limits him. Mm-hmm. He's not all the way there. He's not the same guy. That guy didn't have the injury. That guy was ready to go out of the
gates. And a lot of that production in 07 came early in the season.
Well, that's another point we brought up on Tuesday. Eventually, teams figured out what they were doing, and they didn't shut him down by any means.
Right, but they made it
instead
close.
Of 50 points, it was down to 30 by the end of the year.
And the margins of victory shrunk considerably.
Right. You know.
Okay, so if you're
and the schedule
choose,
this year,
mm-hmm.
Well, that was a pretty
what you got
schedule.
From Jabbar Gaffney, and what you will potentially get from Rob Gronkowski, which would you have?
I'm sorry, say that again. What was it?
From what you know, the given of what Jabbar Gaffney brought to the offense in 2007, to what Rob Gronkowski can potentially bring.
Oh, I take Gronkowski.
I would take Gronkowski too.
So it's going to elevate the offense in that particular area. Okay.
Gaffney wasn't the tight end.
Gaffney was a wide receiver, fourth wide receiver.
He was a fourth wide receiver. Gronkowski is going to be your starting tight end.
Right.
But it's still going to be production. So what about what Ben Watson gave you in 2007 versus the potential that you're going to get from Hernandez?
Are we going to go up and down every guy? Because I think we already talked about Randy Moss caught 23 touchdowns, and if you get 12 out of them, you had a great year. So does that mean that you're not even close?
I hope Travis.
Wes Welker caught 8 touchdowns that year. You know how many touchdowns he has in the rest of his career combined? 8. He had 8 in 07. He had 8 others in his whole career. So do you think he's going to match that?
The quarterback had 50, has never had
more than 28 in any other year. So where do you think the production is going to go? Probably based on 07. Again, miracles happen. Yeah. It happened in 07.
I mean, if Brady ends up with 34 touchdowns, that's phenomenal.
Right.
But it's nowhere near 07.
Just like if Moss goes out and catches another 90 passes for 1,500 yards and 15 touchdowns, that's a phenomenal season.
That's all
But it pales in comparison to what he did in 07.
Right. 07 was just out of this world.
That's why we needed to have that.
If you look at it that way, based on what the weapons that he has now, that Brady has now, what is your guesstimate of his touchdown total at the end of the season?
28.
30. I'll put it at 30.
I'd like low 30s. That would be phenomenal.
Yes, I agree with Freddie.
Yeah. I'm going 28
How many
and 13.
Did he have last year?
28.
I'll be in the mid 30s. If I were a betting man, I'd bet the over on 30. On 35. I bet the over on
35. 35?
I'd take the under.
I just wanted to make the point. We started off this whole thing about a percentage, 35 to 50.
Right.
That's about what?
2/3.
I was going to say a 25%. I'm no math major, but I mean, that's a significant percentage drop off from 50.
Yeah.
So now we're right back where we started. We think about 75.
I would take the under at 35 and the over at 30.
I'm with Andy.
Thanks to Gronkowski, mostly.
Right around 30.
I'll subtract some from the 9 that Maroney had and give them to Gronkowski.
Well, you know what?
Unless his back gets hurt.
Another key aspect of that in terms of the actual number, which is, you know, we all know not all that important. Look at the way the first couple of preseason games unfolded and the way they ran the ball into the end zone.
Right.
If they do that a lot.
Right.
You know, Brady had no touchdowns the first week.
Right.
You know, they were scoring every time he was on the field. Sometimes you run the ball in, you don't get the touchdown pass. Doesn't mean he didn't do anything.
Right. Alex from Georgia writes in.
This is Paul's boot.
Greetings, Eric, the new improved man of the people, guys, Tubby and Andy. That is all. I don't know what that means, but he says if I read it, you would get pissed, Andy.
Not really.
Yeah, Andy's upset because...
Well, why do we not read emails that Andy would get pissed about?
Paul's boot thinks that I've now supplanted Andy as the man of the people,
well, which is laughable.
The fact that Andy ever had the title
Andy
as man of the people.
Andy was never the man
right.
of the people.
Well, he was the self-proclaimed man of the
but
people.
But I certainly will not be replaced by this guy.
You're the man who hates all people.
Sob 2000 over here with his nose in the air. He's not the man of the people.
I can't help with the nose.
Well,
I mean,
no,
that's true.
You
with your face down, you know.
In the air. I was looking over the, employee IDs on our intranet site. You know how our badges, all our pictures.
Who are you looking for hot chicks?
Even your picture is very smug, Eric. You have a very smug look.
Then it truly tells the tale.
This is the picture.
Yeah, I should.
Do you have a sweater vest on in the picture?
Yeah.
No.
He has a turtleneck.
I don't have a turtleneck.
It's a cardigan.
No, it's not a mock turtleneck.
Yes,
is it a cardigan?
No, I have
with a T-shirt underneath.
No, I have a button down with
is
a T-shirt.
Is that a mock turtleneck or what?
It's a button down with a T-shirt.
What the hell are you doing?
Looks like a mock turtleneck.
White T-shirt. Yes, definite mock turtleneck.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, you're okay. You look like you should be introducing Masterpiece Theater.
I wouldn't mind doing that.
And that's what he thinks he is. Right. So he's not a man of the people.
Right.
That's true. So we're down to just me and you.
He's above the.
And you hate the people. So Fred is the man of the people.
Why do you steal my lines? You always steal my lines.
By the way, forever to get to grandma's house.
I hate the fans. It's been more than 10 minutes. Kevin said lunch was 10 minutes away.
Well, I'm gonna go check in a second. But do you want to hear that MP3 from yesterday?
Sure. Let's, Mikey. This is a
Mikey Vandalism.
Yeah, Mikey Vandalism.
Okay, this has been screened.
It's been screened.
Okay. He says another premium quality MP3. You don't want to miss the priceless audio clip of Rex Ryan. I hope you guys will enjoy it, and I'm interested on your thoughts after hearing what Rex had to say about Tom Brady and the Patriots. So let's roll it.
Last Yeah, I never came here to kiss Bill Belichick's, you know, rings. You know, I came to, to win. Let us put it that way. And
is that reverb?
You know, so we'll see what happens. I'm certainly not intimidated by New England or anybody else.
What's up, guys? At PFW in Progress, this is Mikey Vandalism coming to you with premium quality. Now, today, boys, I have a treat for you, and this treat is, in this MP3 is attached another MP3. It's like a circus here on PFW, and Mikey Vandalism is bringing it to you. And what we have is Rex Ryan's response to Tom Brady taking his little jab against the Jets on WEEI. So here's what Rex had to say.
I have a question. Tom Brady went on Boston Radio. I'm not sure if you've heard, but the quote is that he hasn't been watching Hard Knocks. I hate the Jets, so I refuse to support that show. Any thoughts?
No, hell, he knows we hate the Patriots, so what's the difference? You know, my brother's got a couple Super Bowl rings. You know, he loves Tom Brady, but I don't have them, so I don't like Tom Brady. I respect him, but I don't like him.
What do you think of him making that comment?
That's great, eh? Join the club.
That's it?
Is that it?
Oh, wow.
Great.
No, but he didn't. Oh, he didn't close it. I like that he brought the quote, but then I thought he'd come back and say, "Well, that's it. What do you guys think?"
No, that's it.
Well, okay. But he actually previews his MP3s in his emails.
I don't get the
emails. So he should add what he wrote in the email. He should. He
everyone's
should
trying to make something
MP3.
Out of this. I think they're both having a good time with it.
Absolutely.
And I think it's great.
We're here arguing about the MP3.
I think everybody all around is doing exactly with it that they should, because it's fun. The media is sort of trying to fan the flames and get a reaction. Rex plays along and adds to it.
Any thoughts? He goes, no.
And then he answers,
I hate him. Ellis Hobbs liking that
I hate
answer.
The Patriots.
These guys don't really
it's great.
Hate anybody. Each other.
Jason Taylor's the perfect example. He hated the Jets. He was a Dolphin. I'm a Jet? No, I don't really hate the Jets.
You watch any Jets-Patriots game at the end, or even before, they all go over there hugging each other, slapping each other on the back.
And one of the Jets actually said that. Who knows? Someday maybe Brady's the quarterback of the Jets, or Sanchez is the quarterback of the Patriots.
They don't hate anybody.
That's the way the league works now.
Yeah.
I liked the guy who started the fight in Hard Knocks, the Rob Turner guy, and they asked him, would he fight Brady? And he said, he'd never fight me. I'd break his jaw. Like, even him. Who's
that character? I'm mad about.
No, but even him, whose character is the thug, plays the thug in this little episode.
Right. No, it's not a big deal.
And you better watch out, because Brady does some boxing in the offseason.
He does.
I don't really think he needs to watch out.
I don't know. I was pretty impressed with Brady punch.
Well, who did he punch?
We saw him working out in the hall with Harold Nash one day.
Oh, yeah?
Pretty powerful punch.
Okay.
This guy, tough guy over here, Paul Perillo, shaking his head. I'll kick Brady's ass.
I
about Everett?
In Everett, they don't they just pick up a bottle, hit
you. No California soft boy.
Do you know what I would do to him? No.
Get your ass
whooped. I was talking more along the lines of the goon offensive lineman, not me. But, you know, whatever. Whatever steps in the way of your little punchlines. Man of the people over there.
No, Fred is the man of the people, clearly, in his Cadillac.
Well, I think he runs on a
leather
post.
Seats.
I think he runs on a post.
And his neighbor's putting green.
Let's see.
So nobody on this show is the man of the people.
No.
Derek from the University of Arizona. I wish I could be listening to the whole show live, but school has just started and up to now, and now I have to get an education. Total bummer. Anyway, I'm sure glad more people are getting on the Gronkowski bandwagon. And believe me, that number will grow. Sorry, Eric, you won't. Oh, boy. You don't need that shot.
No, you missed it last show, Fred. People were making fun of my height because I did the thing on Patriots Today with B-Lo.
Oh, right.
And there was an extraordinary height difference between the two of us. So.
Of which there is not in this room. We're all within a couple inches of each other.
And the fact that I don't get made fun of for the same thing with B-Lo.
Well, there's other issues at play when you're on the screen.
But they don't, you're the only one who makes fun of me for that.
The fact that they look like a number 10?
And that's Andy's.
Well, I was actually going to go old and bald. And
But I think Rob could surprise people with his playmaking ability, as he knows what to do after the catch. He was a force here at the U of A, and I hope he can continue what he started last week for the rest of his career. Anyway, what I was curious about was the Quinn Ajinaka trade. However, not about how the trade affects the offensive line, but how it affects the outside linebacker position. If Belichick felt so unsure about the offensive line that he made a trade for Quinn, should we feel good or bad about the outside linebacker position? Should we feel bad that Bill has not been able to successfully execute a trade for an outside linebacker or bring in a free agent that fits the system? Or should we feel glad that Belichick has seen something in practice or one of the two games that makes him feel like the team has the bodies to compete. I do not know how he could feel comfortable with the personnel as it stands now, but curious to what you guys think on the matter. Have a good one and keep up the great work. So what do we read into the fact that he hasn't been able to bring in an outside linebacker?
Oh, the fact that there aren't that many of those players that exist.
Right. Same reason he hasn't been able to bring it in for the last 8 years.
I think if there was one available and
he would have tried to get one,
fit the system, he'd be bringing him in.
I also think the guys, and Andy talked about this on Tuesday, the guys they've acquired on the offensive line, I think more an indictment of the backups. You know, the Ted Larsons, the Rich Ornbergers, the George Busseys, as opposed to the frontline players. The Patriots right now arguably need frontline outside linebackers. That's harder to acquire. You know, if I think there's a big difference there. I think you're looking at depth with Ojinaka and Gajcek and, and those guys. They're guys that have started in the league that might provide you some depth in the interior positions. In Ojinaka's case, all the positions because he plays everywhere.
Right.
And I think Eric's right in that there's 32 teams with however many offensive linemen out there, and they're kind of interchangeable. Yeah, there's difference. There's zone blocking, different things, but there's more teams running the 3-4, and there clearly is a lack of people that are capable of playing on the edge in certain schemes in the 3-4. So they're not just lying around on the bottom of rosters somewhere. Anybody that has a hint of potential, I think it's looked at where they are. They don't necessarily get kicked to the curb quite as easily.
All right. Let's see. Lunch has just arrived, and it is courtesy of Chris in Toronto. So thank you very much, Chris. That's awesome.
Great job, Chris. Thank
amazingly,
you.
The food stayed warm all the way from Canada. But he says, I hope you enjoy lunch today. I realize that Pizzeria Grandi is perhaps a step down from Davio's and CBS Scene, but I figured it was probably time for something different. Paul, I have to apologize. I should have verified that Grandi sells Diet Pepsi prior to selecting them as today's provider. The last thing I'd want to do is put your daily four-can quota at risk. Don't worry about that. He's got a fridge in his office well-stocked.
No, I don't. It's empty.
And I caught you cheating yesterday. You bought lunch, and I saw you with a Diet Coke.
Because they didn't have Pepsi.
I thought usually you, like, drive to another place to get the soda.
I had Paul covered.
I didn't have that option, but as soon as I went into the meeting with Freddie, he hooked me up with a Diet Pepsi.
Press box is full of them, too, so we'll get him there for
you. But, Chris, this is excellent, and you never have to apologize for getting Pizza Grande, Pizzeria Grande.
I love it.
Because we love it.
Even though they did slice up my calzone like they've never done before, I still love it.
That's nice.
I actually do like
the jab
it.
In that's
well, no, it's different, and I'm always hesitant to deal with change.
Oh, for Christ's sake, it's just a sliced calzone.
These are nice little dipping strips.
Tastes the same. Anyway, moving on, says Chris, I have to say that Sam in Chicago and another emailer whose name I don't recall, see, Paul, it's not just you, hit the nail on the head on Tuesday regarding the influx of painfully long and inane calls from certain PFW listeners. I think it's safe to say that the vast majority of listeners tune in for the football talk, childish bickering, blatant homerism, and toilet humor of Fred, Paul, Andy, and yes, Eric, and not some tree hugger from Baltimore.
Wow.
If you must call, do so at the most once every couple of shows, and please, for all our sakes, keep it to 2 minutes or less. I can only bang my head against my desk at work, you know, that place where one earns a living, so many times without passing out. On that note, I think a weekly or monthly list of listener power rankings is in order. Big game tonight against the Rams, a team that, let's face it, the Patriots should beat up and down the field, particularly given that the ones typically need most of the play in the third preseason game. What do each of you want or need to see tonight, and from whom? That's from Chris from Toronto. Thanks again for lunch,
fire.
Chris. That is awesome.
Good stuff.
Thank you. So why don't we do this? We'll take a quick break so that we can gobble down some food and we're not talking with food in our mouths. And when we come back, we'll talk about this game coming up tonight.
When the boss says it.
For those that want Patriot talk when other talk radio stations are talking other stuff, go to patriots.com and listen to PFW in Progress.
You have to do it. PFW in Progress on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.
So, Pat, what time does our flight get in? It
says here American Airlines flight 505 gets in at 7:05.
Perfect. Game starts at 7:30. I suppose you know our gate number, too?
Yep. Says so right here on my phone, Brian.
Yeah, you think you know everything because you have one of those smartphones.
What's wrong? Jealous because I can check AA.com, get flight info, gates and times, pretty much anything flight related?
I like to keep it simple. You know, that's how I roll. I'm old school. So I travel with one of these.
Brian, that's a cordless phone.
Right. No cord.
From your home.
That's right.
How's that working out for you?
To be honest, the range is somewhat limited. But only when I travel.
Find all the flight info you need for the big game or the big meeting at aa.com/mobile. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Hey, Brian, it's Dad. I heard you won Patriot season tickets for life. Maybe we could grab a game together.
Who's this again?
It's Dad.
What kind of joke is this? You're not my dad.
No, I'm pretty sure I'm your dad.
Yeah, third one today. Okay, Dad, tell me, when's my birthday?
Oh, come on, Bri. You won Patriot season tickets for life. You want to talk about your birthday?
I'm hanging up.
Don't hang up on your father.
Oh, yeah. They'll be coming out of the woodwork once they find out you won season tickets for life on the New England Patriots instant game. You could also win $1 million instantly, plus a boatload of other great prizes.
I could do one of those quick adoptions. We could go to the game together and talk about the old days.
We don't have old days.
Good point.
Bye, Daddy.
Pick up the new Patriots instant game from the Massgate Lottery, masslottery.com.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Rock the Plaza every Saturday and Sunday, to the Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday, to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Paul Perillo prides himself on being the old-timer of the PFW crew.
Going back to the 40s of Paul.
Well, let's face it, it's actually Andy who makes fun of Paul for being an old-timer. But just because he was born in the 40s or something, it doesn't exactly mean Paul has all the answers. In fact, it seems like just about everything Paul's come up with, he didn't come up with.
I was going to say he's rated the way he should be, too. I was going to say, I read something. This is what I was going to say, yeah. Just on this topic.
I agree with that wholeheartedly.
That's the way I was going to say. That's probably on statement right there. I was going to say, you know why it is.
What's the matter, Paul?
No, I was going to say it was before 85, so. I was going to say that, but I don't even know.
Jeez, Paul, what do you know? We're not sure if you ever had an original thought, and even that your catchphrases might be stolen. Right, Eddie Mac?
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
We need more of those employee drop-ins here. I like those. Those are funny. All right, so lunch buyer and made man Chris from Toronto wants to know.
Made man.
He's a made man. Once you buy lunch, you're a made man. Get your bones. What are we looking for tonight? What's important to see? What do you want to avoid? Obviously, besides injuries, you know. What are we on the lookout for tonight? By the way, I won't be up in the press box again. Sorry.
Again?
Oh, Jesus.
You got another thing?
I got a thing.
The same thing from the
last
time.
Yeah.
Receivers.
That's
can Gronkowski be what I saw him on the practice field? Can he be more versatile? Because I don't think Hernandez will probably play since
probably
he
not.
Missed the week of practice. So I want to see that development from Gronkowski. And is Wes Welker one of the guys, or is he continued to be limited in some way? Because I think we all expect the offense. We'll see him first, second quarter, probably into the third quarter.
Mm-hmm.
Will he be at least some part of that, or is he still kind of lagging a little bit behind?
Staying on the offense, I think we need to look at the running game. It's been pretty productive as a group the first two games, but we've had a different starter each game. We've had different people leading with rushing and touchdowns and whatnot. I want to see how consistent they can be with the regulars in there. And to see who the regular is going to be. Because who we see tonight is basically who we're going to see on September 12th.
I want to see if they put out Tate and Price with Brady and see if they try to work the ball to them, see what they can do.
Well, you probably will see because with both Edelman, Hernandez hurt, right. Welker potentially not going as deep into the game.
Yep.
You're
yep.
probably going to have to see some of those guys with Brady.
And then obviously on defense, let's see what Burgess is doing. You know, last game they said he was
dancing with the
in
right
pretty
tackle.
Good shape, but maybe not good football shape. Let's see what he's doing today. And let's see what Gerard Warren does. You know, because it's hard to focus on those guys, you know, when you're watching the game. But, you know, take a few plays out and just focus on the D-line, see what they're doing. And, you know, obviously the usual suspect spikes. You want to see how he's progressing.
Well, I we were kind of talking about this in the office a little bit earlier, and Andy made a good point that last week the corners weren't really tested. Matt Ryan wasn't really throwing to his receivers that much. He was targeting the middle of the field where the inside linebackers and the safeties were sort of a little soft in their coverage, let's say. And that's a problem we've seen from this team's defense in the past, too. I can particularly think of the Jets game a couple of years
in
ago
08.
In 08 when Dustin Keller lit them up and got the catch in overtime that eventually won the game. We saw that again last week where the middle of the field was soft on defense. So we'll
one
see if they can make an adjustment there.
One of the problems with the Falcons' game plan was before the game, Mike Smith was running around going, short game today, guys, short game.
And we did
lost the focus.
We did collaborate a little bit, and we posted something along these lines, Freddie, on the blog, just about things to watch for tonight, you know, the typical preseason day of game fodder, and all the ones that we've already hit on are included. In terms of what Eric just talked about, Andy brought up a good point. We've seen a lot of different safeties, safety combinations this week. Andy's guy, James Sanders, was out there a lot. Be interesting to see if he stays out there with that base group like he did in practice on Monday and Tuesday when we got to watch, and then whoever's out there, they need to do a better job in the area that Eric talked about, that soft middle between the inside linebackers and the safeties. I think they need to tighten that up a little bit.
Which was McGowan's specialty a year ago.
And probably will be something that Sam Bradford is looking for tonight, because it's a West Coast offense. He's a young guy. You know, there's been some reports that he's really been working the tight ends a lot. Daniel Fell's a guy that we had some interest in the early in the offseason. I think he's banged up a little bit. He's got a knee injury, so he may not play tonight. But
was he pre-Crumpler?
Yes.
So he would have been the Crumpler guy.
Probably.
Okay.
But evidently he's played pretty well in camp. He's catching
some
passes. Making
sure he wasn't going to be the Gronkowski guy.
Oh, I doubt that. No. No. So that
Butterfly effect. I could have lost my boy before he ever got here.
And just in terms of, you know, one other thing that I don't think we mentioned, there's a bunch of regulars that haven't really played much, if at all, so far. Lee Bodden, Tully Bantakane, Gary Guyton. There's three guys that returned to practice this week that I expect to play tonight. I'm really interested to see how and when they play. I think Bantakane should go right back with the starters, but I'd be surprised if Guyton just supplanted Brandon Spikes, and I'd probably be surprised if Bodden went right back to right corner. I think he may eventually get there, but I'd be surprised if he did immediately tonight. And if he does, who's the left corner? Is it McCourty or is it Butler? So those are some of the things
and who's left
that I'm watching.
Out.
It's disappointing that we're not going to see at outside linebacker Jermaine Cunningham, probably because he hasn't practiced all week either, so almost a virtual certainty that he's not going to play tonight. And we haven't seen him play at all, really.
We haven't had really good luck drafting outside linebackers, have we?
The disappointment of the summer, Jermaine Cunningham.
So far.
I thought he was the key to the defense.
Yeah.
And I've not seen him.
So... All right, so, you know...
We're not really supposed to talk about outside linebackers. Fans got very angry the other day, Fred.
Oh, really?
One fan.
We've been fixating on it. Some DB in Maldan.
Well, it's his prerogative. It's his opinion. That's
he set me off a little bit, just so you know. If anybody's asking why I'm ripping Gerard Mayo, it was tied into that, which only Andy can turn. Don't talk about outside linebackers to a rip job on the defensive captain.
Tim in Baltimore writes in, have a quick comment about you calling Brad from Baltimore a hippie just because he homeschools his kids.
And has no TV.
From my experience...
That wasn't the only reason.
There were two. TV.
And he's from Maine.
Homeschool.
From my experience, the vast majority of homeschool kids have parents that are God-fearing religious fanatics that want to keep their kids from heathens like me. Also, I'm starting to buy into Belichick's drafting strategy. I think Belichick has accepted that there are too many unknown unknowns associated with each draft pick, so you can only increase the odds of getting
that be a known?
star players by accumulating as many draft picks as possible. when you add up all the picks from last year, this year and next year, the Pats will look great even if 20% of them turn out to be good players, only 10% turn out to be Pro Bowlers. I like those odds. Well, the problem with that, Tim, is then you get the year where they had, what, 7 picks? So I don't think that he has the philosophy that more is better. And, you know, the odds are, yeah, obviously the odds increase if you got more guys. Some might, you know, pan out, but
they decrease the further you get from number one.
Yeah, I don't think that that's a philosophy that Belichick has whatsoever, you know.
If he really wanted to, you know, put math and all this stuff to use, Andy just hit the point. And Bill says it all the time. The further away you get from the top of the draft, your percentages of getting a star or an impact player, perennial Pro Bowler, they decrease significantly.
And we also have to take into account the top of his draft. The further you get away from his draft, we don't know, you know, a guy that just jumped in my head because of the Jets and Hard Knocks, Vernon Golston. Bill may have thought Vernon Golston was a bust waiting to happen. I have no idea what he thought of him. I know we raved about him and fell in love with his physique and his potential, probably the same things the Jets did, but he may have thought he was the 45th best prospect in the draft. So it's not always about how the draft unfolds on TV in front of us. It's how Bill has his board, and if he legitimately has all these guys rated similarly in the 30s or the 40s, and there's not that much of a drop-off from 16 to 42, all these numbers that people love to throw out, I don't know that anybody other than Bill and Ernie Adams really know what they have stacked, but that's what it's compared to, not how the draft actually unfolds.
Right, right. Hamza in Toronto says, not sure if Fred's on the show today. He is. Or if he has a lot of meetings, as usual.
He does not.
Has to go watch tape of Brian Finneran or backup fullbacks from all around the league. But if he is there, Fred, I ran your Gino Cappelletti story by a friend of mine who is a psychiatrist in training. And here's what she had to say. Seek help immediately. You are a threat to everyone around you. Seriously, though, she thinks you should explore your unresolved feelings toward Gino and or towards any weird penile deformities you might have witnessed and are repressing. I then mentioned that you are informally known on the show as the Nut Wizard, at which point she brought out her pad and started writing your symptoms down, and I kept writing for a while, frowning and occasionally using a highlighter. Long story short, she thought I was making the whole thing up, as the story seemed too strange to be true. Not good, Freddie, not good. I also want to commend Eric on a great story from Atlanta about the rich guy and all the girls, but as usual, you really blew it, Eric. All those college girls and virtually no one to compete with you could have ended up with at least one smoking hot girl, Eric, instead of just one, an admittedly great blog entry.
Lubricants.
As Andy would say, if he hasn't said it already, you should have entered her blog. Did you say that?
No.
On to football-related matters. Don't want to beat a dead horse, but the 18-game schedule was apparently discussed by owners recently, and as one would expect, they were virtually all singing its praises. I was disappointed, though, not surprised to hear Mr. Kraft in favor of it as well. I realize it's a no-brainer for owners to want two more regular season games, but I was hoping for more resistance to the idea that I've seen so far. Do you guys think the 18-game season is basically a lock at this point? If not,
yep.
What do you think could derail the plans for it at this point? And I'm still waiting for Fred's 2010 slogan, anything better than everything's fine in 09. That was lame.
What do you got for 10?
I haven't thought about it yet.
On top again in 010 or something?
Our show should make Cots bigger. That could be it. So what do you think about
I do think it's a lock, but they're going to have to give up something to the players. So that said, what's that going to be? Is it going to be increasing their salaries because the players said they want more money? Is it going to be the loss of the franchise tag?
Well, that's the thing. You have all these things on the table for the owners. You know, rookie salary cap, 18-game schedule. They want to cut revenue, you know, all that stuff. Where's the priority? Which is out there just as a bargaining chip? You know, maybe 18-game schedule isn't such a lock. Maybe they pull that away to get something else. I don't know.
I think it probably is. And I heard something interesting, and Fred, you might know if this is accurate, but technically the owners don't need the permission of the players for that.
True.
They can just unilaterally decide our season is now 18 games.
This year they could.
Right.
Because
there's no CBA right now?
No, because under the current CBA. But they're not going to play under the current CBA beyond, you know what I mean?
But you think they'll add something into the next CBA that limits the amount, you know.
Well, I think the players are going to. That's where I think Fred's right. Maybe the owners are doing this wholly to get the players to just say, if you take that back, we'll give you X. It could be a tool.
Oh, I do think that
could be a whole.
The owners won't.
Red herring, so to speak.
Yeah, the owners won't unilaterally do that, even though they technically can, because they'll be looking to get something back in return for it.
What?
They want it. It's part of negotiations. The play. I think they would alienate the players if they just used their power and said, "We don't have to give. You don't have to give us anything. We're just going to make it an 18-game season, and you're going to give us that."
That would be a bad.
I don't think
move.
That would be smart for the owners to do.
And they can't.
I think that would alienate.
Because the players won't sign the new CBA. They could have done it this year had they wanted to. They could have made it an 18-game schedule and just screw you.
I was
we're
just
really
talking,
sticking it to you.
I
hadn't thought of Fred's idea that. This is just a fictitious schedule that they're bringing up as a chip that they can later then, if you really force us to, we'll give it up.
Yeah.
When
if,
they don't, maybe they don't really want
don't
it
really
at all.
Maybe they don't want it. Yeah, no, that's always possible.
And that's always thinking.
I would be surprised by that, though.
I think they want to expand the money. And the whole fans don't want preseason games and all that.
Well, that's part of it. You know, the whole preseason game is part of that conversation. But I've heard talk now where, regardless of what they do with the regular season, they might reduce preseason anyway.
Right.
That's where the owners now could say, okay, we're losing revenue here mm-hmm. if we do that, but we'll do it. So all this stuff is pieces of it, and the thing as a whole is a bargaining chip,
right.
You know?
Yep.
Personally, I understand what the players are saying. Look, you know, preseason isn't regular season. You're increasing our odds of getting hurt, our odds of, you know, our hours of work, if you will. You know, so, and then you want to cut, you know, our share of the revenue, well, that's not that good. But then on the owners, they'll say, yeah, but if we increase the regular season, our revenues will go up. So maybe your percentage is lower, but the pool that you're getting it from is bigger, so you'll end up making more money than.
And the players say, your pool's bigger too, and your percentage is bigger.
Right.
How'd that happen?
It's bigger for everybody. You know. But I don't know. 18-game season, fine. But I think more important is addressing the preseason. You know,
sure, but
well, it goes hand in hand.
Yeah. I just, what's the breaking point?
Yeah.
Of where you've now you become people say the season's too long or this, you know, you've expanded too much. You're playing too many nights a week. What is too much for all these decisions? You're playing too many games in Europe or too many games
think
around
that,
the world.
I think we're pretty the close
short
to
schedule.
It.
I do
think,
too.
Is the biggest thing that the NFL has going for it?
I agree.
And I think you're running the risk. Right now, there's already a problem, a worry about week 15 and week 16 mostly. I know it's easy to just say, well, those games will now be meaningful. It'll be week 17 and week 18 we're worrying about, but not necessarily.
No. Right.
If you add weeks, you're adding chances that
right.
divisions are going to be sewn up even earlier
that's
than
right.
they were in the past.
That's true, Paul. That's
but
a good point.
On the same level, I think you'll have more caution from the coach. They can't pull the plug quite as early.
No, But
they're still hesitant. They're not going to say, well, we'll sit out the final five games
no,
with our –
No,
you know what I mean?
I agree with you, but there's still not that pressing –
The issue will always be there. The issue will always
be
there.
But I think you're adding to the odds that you're having more games.
Yeah, the odds are
because the regulars may play, but it just may not
right.
mean anything.
The odds are that the last two games of an 18-game season are greater that they won't mean anything than the odds of the last two seasons games of a 16-game season.
Is that true?
Yeah, because you can increase your lead that much more.
But it also gives the team the opportunity to catch up longer. You're not eliminated as quickly. I don't know the answer to this.
But don't
I'm
you,
just think.
I mean, isn't it? I don't know. I don't have the math either. You're right.
I don't know how to figure it out.
But I'm just using a little common sense. In baseball, more teams are eliminated earlier with more games to play than in basketball and hockey, which have more teams eliminated earlier than football.
Right.
Because I would stand to say the length of the season, the longer you go, the more of a chance you have of eliminating teams at an earlier point in the regular season.
Bad teams.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and as the season
the less
goes,
games you play, the longer everybody is still in.
But there's more bad teams in those sports. Isn't the whole thing about the NFL is it's parity? Everybody's really close to that.
Yeah, but I don't know if that's accurate, though.
Yeah. I don't either. I'm just asking questions.
Okay.
So,
but that's the impression you have right now is that the NFL is about parity and every team has a chance every year. You're only this
right, and that's what I'm saying. With an 18-game schedule,
you
have an extended. Yes. If you struggle in October, well, now maybe you got a couple extra games on the back end to make that ground up. Or
yeah, I mean, obviously the number one concern with an 18-game schedule would be the player safety. Sure. And,
well,
that's the number one thing
talked about now is, you know, on the one hand, the league is saying, you know, we're all about player safety. They're doing a lot of rules and changes of emphasis, you know, that say that, yeah, maybe they are, but doesn't increasing the season increase the odds that someone's going to get hurt? I don't know the numbers there either, but it does seem to be something that's worth talking about, you know.
Along those lines, long term, I have a really dumb thing to say. It sounds really dumb. I'm really starting to fall under the belief that they should go back to leather helmets. The more I hear about all these concussions and things and this whole Alzheimer's and everybody jokes about it, I really think it might be the way to go. And it would eliminate the head banging for everybody.
You have to go back to smaller shoulder pads.
Yeah, would obviously kind of fall in line with it. But you need to go back to a game that's based upon tackling rather than
technique.
Hitting.
Technique.
Yeah. Blocking rather than banging. Right. And I think we're about banging and hitting rather than blocking and skill and angles and the whole forearm thing. I don't know if that would be back. But I really think that is the only real way you're going to get back to safety for players and less head injuries. And
now, back then, football was brutal, too. But
and
it wasn't
people died,
type
I know.
Of injury.
Well,
it
was died on the field.
It was a different type of injury.
Dead.
More...
Yeah, dead.
No.
No, they died.
It was like one guy, right?
No. Teddy Roosevelt almost banned football because they were dying after
that.
Right.
That you weren't tackled then until five guys were on top of you. Seriously.
No,
that
I know.
A different, that was even a different era. Than
let's
what
not pretend there were no injuries back then.
No, there was.
They died.
No.
But I think that's a different game than what we're talking
about. But I really
about.
Think that's how you get back to tackling, quote-unquote, instead of hitting. Because hitting is now what they do. They try to hit rather than tackle.
And there was also
that's a problem.
Did they have they come up with any timeline for the 18 game season, like when it would start?
2012 is the season I've seen thrown out.
Where
that's one of the details.
Do you move up a week and have it start Labor Day weekend?
The most likely is up
that's,
a week
is
and
that what
back a
said?
Week.
But they're even saying about adding a bye week.
Yeah,
I hope they don't do that.
Yeah,
but that's why week? They didn't vote on it because all these specific things need to be worked out theoretically.
I mean, I think if you play Labor Day weekend. And then you go 1 week longer. I mean, I think that's the ideal.
Well, everybody has always said they want to have the Super Bowl on President's Day weekend because it's a natural
everybody's
holiday.
Everybody's off on
everybody's
the Monday.
Off, and it makes it this huge, you know.
That, I think that work. Would work.
And Labor Day used to be the traditional start of the NFL season.
Yeah, up until about, 99?
Maybe 10 years ago. Yeah.
2000-ish.
I don't understand why the...
Yeah, they know. Well, the ratings. It's all about the ratings. They say that the ratings aren't as good that week.
Really?
Yeah. I'm sure now if they did it, it would be the highest rated game that they've ever played.
Well, I could see that. I mean, there's a lot of people that Labor Day is the last weekend of summer, so you're out boats, cookouts, pools.
I just think the NFL, I mean, I know you don't want to get greedy and you don't want to get cocky as the NFL. You don't want to say,
cocksure, if you will.
They'll watch our product no matter when we put it on. We'll tell them when they should watch. I just have to think that there'd be a minimal, if any, difference between week one, Labor Day weekend audience and
just so you know, there'd be one.
The next one.
If I didn't work here, I wouldn't watch. I would definitely be eating, boating,
see, Fred, you know what the problem is?
Barbecuing.
He just doesn't like sports.
No, that's not true.
He just doesn't care.
But I like other things more. I would rather have my last weekend of summer and say I'll catch up in week two.
Right?
I wouldn't give up summer to sit on a couch and watch a game. I'm going to be sitting on the couch the next 6 months.
No one's asking you to give up summer.
Well, if I'm a legitimate football fan,
Mr.
and I get
hyperbole
from 12
we're
to 1 on
to give up 3 hours,
12
of one
to
day
4
of
on
summer.
Sunday is prime weekend boating
but it's
cookout.
It's one day, not the whole summer.
It's Labor Day weekend. It's the.
What about Monday? What about Saturday?
What do you mean?
You still have the whole weekend. You just
I know
one.
Well, I
day.
Lose the holiday weekend if you take one of my days from me, so I have to sit on the couch and watch football.
And where are you going on holiday weekend?
No
by
matter
the way?
Where you are, you can take 3 hours out and watch your football
That's,
team.
Do you even have a boat,
can.
Andy?
Yes, he does.
Do you? What kind?
Andy's
listen. Damn business.
You have a boat?
Andy has his
no,
surf
really.
To take care
what
of.
What do you mean, not really? You either it's, have one or you don't.
Well, my family has one. I don't own it.
My family. It's the family boat.
It's been you. In the family for family. Years.
What's the name of the boat? Big Head?
No, it's not a boat you name. It's like a 17-foot center console just,
oh,
you
it's
know.
Like a Boston Whaler type thing?
Yeah, just for tubing and, you know, going out to the
tubing.
Beach.
You don't name those boats?
Well, you can, but I don't, I mean, I don't think you should.
Did you christen it?
Yeah, he urinated on it.
Have I had sex with a woman in it? Is that what you're asking?
Keep the Jets out of it.
Yes.
Wow, Andy's got a boat.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's a lot of little coves you can pull in.
You've never offered us to
go out on your boat.
I just, I never thought Andy would actually say that, though.
Wow.
A lot of coves you can pull into.
Wow, Andy has a boat.
And I pulled into her cove.
Now, do you have to pay docking fees?
No, it's actually, I rarely pay anything.
Oh, you know the guy? Give him tickets?
No, I mean, my stepdad takes care of it and everything. And when something breaks, I pay for that. But he generally does the mooring, whatever those fees are.
Right.
I pay for if I break it, which happens four or five times a summer.
What about gas? You have to pay for gas? Yeah.
Gas is expensive too, right, for that?
Well, I mean, if you do it on the water, yeah, they charge you like 50 cents more per gallon than normal. But I just, I mean, you get those six-gallon tanks.
What do you mean? They have like a...
Yeah, you can pull up and just fill up.
Yeah, they have fill-ups right on the
dock. Now it's probably $3.25 a gallon or something.
Like Winnipesaukee, they have the little stalls you go in.
But I mean, they ream you.
So you're out there in your center console, tooling around with no shirt on, just
pulling behind. Yeah. No shirt on. He's got the Shaq tank top on.
Shaq tank top.
Pulling into all these coves.
It's actually usually Grandmama Larry Johnson one. Because in the bright sunlight, that green doesn't, the Shaq black really heats up quickly.
A mesh black tank top heats up quickly.
Oh, the original Orlando Magic with the pinstripes?
But even the Dream Team one's a dark blue, so that one heats up too.
Hey, have you ordered your Celtics?
I have not ordered it yet, no.
He will.
Because apparently I have to order Sydney one, too, if I get one for myself and Jackson, according to my wife. So they didn't have any small sizes.
But just the fact that he wouldn't watch, if he didn't work here, Freddie,
just
he wouldn't
get her
even
an
watch
Ellsbury
it.
Shirt.
Who?
Sydney.
No, I would not let her wear an Ellsbury
get her a Colorado
shirt.
Rockies Ellsbury shirt?
What if she were an Ellsbury fan?
Going to be in some team next year that ain't the Red Sox.
She won't be an Ellsbury
fan. What if she were?
She won't be.
What if she were?
She already has a personality, and that's not her personality.
Wow. He just refuses to play.
She's
going to
be a fan of, like her dad, of fullbacks and linebackers. She may play some rugby in her future.
Oh, Andy.
Just saying. She's developing her own personality.
Oh, boy.
It's not ladylike.
Let's see. Armando writes in from San German, Puerto Rico.
Colorado.
Good show. I use it to cool down job-related stress.
Do you know Mike, and does he know you in person?
How is Clarendon guy doing? Don't remember which one of you that was.
That's you.
Who's
You're the
Clarendon
one who nearly dies on the show.
Yeah, remember you took Clarendon once?
I do take Clarendon, but I don't. We haven't talked about that in years.
Well, our listeners have long memories.
Yeah. I also take Flonase.
Or they're way behind on the podcast.
What's Flonase?
You shoot it up your nose for allergies?
Thought that was cocaine.
Is that
the thing they used to have on the field in the old Foxborough Stadium, a huge inflatable that they'd move around and people would chase it?
Yeah, I think they did have a Flonase bottle. Yeah.
Typical of you. Do you do anything that isn't like a sponsor?
It happens
tied
to be
this
very effective. I mean, what the hell are you going to do?
What the hell are you going to
do? What's your favorite soda?
Blah, 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 blah. Coke.
Oh, nice.
You know that.
You. Really?
You know that.
Look
Paul,
at you.
Paul will verify that.
I know that. I thought you'd say Pepsi.
No. See, that's where you get you wrong. You're just wrong.
The correct answer is Pepsi, Fred.
I think Pepsi's a superior product, but, you know, I often align myself with the craft, so.
The throwback Pepsi's pretty good. Have you had that?
Throwback
with the real
Pepsi?
Sugar? It's pretty good.
Found a way to get fatter again.
Paul, the last three topics we brought up, Paul has just sat there nodding.
While chewing a cookie. Oh, yeah, that new Pepsi with the sugar, that's good stuff.
This year I feel better.
Andy was telling stories.
I know.
Probably a story.
It's just that it's funny because people can't see you and they think you're not participating, but I'm trying to say that you're
participating. That's why we should be simulcast.
No. Anyway, Armando goes on. This year I feel better about the running back situation because of Taylor's health. I hope Maroney rebounds finally and shuts everybody's mouth, including mine.
Wait, wasn't Fred Taylor healthy to start last year before he got hurt?
Yeah, now's not the time to worry about his health. It's
right, he was fine.
Season.
I had no concerns.
It's after that 30-yard run.
You either have the same concerns you had last year, which is he has a career that's littered with injuries, or you had no concerns because he was healthy and it was training camp. But he wasn't hurt at this time last year.
Secondary and outside linebackers can't be worse than last year, I hope.
Want to bet?
Two questions. Do you think Bill will give Maroney one more shot? I think he will.
Yeah, he'll be.
He's going to be your starting running back.
And two, I know Moss is in better shape this year, but do you think his last year, I'm not going all out for balls a tad, not perfectly thrown to me, attitude will change?
I don't think he'll change his stripes much. I just think he's very motivated and energetic, and that will show in his play at least early in the season.
And if they're winning games, he'll be fine.
Well, I still think he'll tail off late in the year because I don't think he likes the cold. I think that's kind of been proven in his career, that he has fun early in the year when it's nice and warm and things are rolling, and then defenses maybe catch up a little or a little more physical, a little more calculated, and it gets cold.
Or he's a little banged up.
And it gets a little cold. I really think part of it is cold. I don't think he likes the cold at all.
Let's see. Fat Pat writes in, sup, fellas, fathead and baldhead. There's something I need to get off my chest. No, not Andy's mom, but why do y'all...
Oh, well done.
Why do y'all
You
got to
get my stuff off your mom's chest.
Why do y'all hate Merriweather so much? I never once hear you guys give the kid any credit. You guys talk about him like he's awful. I listened to last Thursday's show and heard Brandon Merriweather is the defense's Lawrence Maroney. Really?
Yes.
As far as my stupid fan observations go, I don't see him blow clearly as many coverages as much as Maroney fumbles at the goal line. I don't see him.
That's not even close. It's a four-man race to infinity.
You haven't seen Merriweather blow two coverages?
Yeah. I don't see him miss tackles as much as Maroney dances for no gain. But wait, he only looks flashy against Shoemaker quarterbacks. Well, at least he makes the plays when he's supposed to, unlike some other one. What were Maroney's numbers versus the Buck, Bills, Broncos, Panthers, Colts, Saints, and Jags, all of which had Paul comb-over run defenses, just plain ugly?
Paul comb-over run defenses. Paul doesn't have a comb-over.
No, he
never
doesn't.
Has.
Maroney had
nothing
all those chances,
you,
wasn't
Rick.
Even noticed, at least not in a good way. Is it something personal with Merriweather y'all don't like? I know he's not that legitimate Pro Bowler, but he's pretty good and has much higher potential, so why the hate? Give the kid some credit.
Can you give me some of the teams that he asked for? What did Maroney do against who?
The Broncos.
I have it right in front of you.
Broncos,
not anymore, apparently.
Panthers.
Broncos, he carried the ball 5 times.
Bucks.
Okay, Panthers.
He said Bucks, I think.
Bucks, he carried the ball 13. That's a bad game. 13 for 43.
Well, I think... There's been a lot of games, but it's not a comparison of Maroney and Merriweather, is it?
Yeah, that's what we were talking about
last week.
Yeah, we were
just talking
about it. I think there's a lot of similarities between the two. They flash. They show signs of the first-round ability that they had.
Well, I would put Merriweather above Maroney, though, in that.
Not a whole lot.
I wouldn't.
I would.
Not a whole lot.
Oh, I would.
I would.
You would put it a whole lot better than Maroney?
Significantly. From a confidence, as a coach... From a confidence level, I
oh,
feel
he's
more,
not lacking in confidence.
No. In my confidence as a coach in Merriweather is much more than it is in Maroney. You know, to get out there, do the job I asked him to do for the most part.
I think the difference there is marginal. I think that they're both wildly inconsistent players who both think they're a lot better than they are.
And are immature.
Very immature. Doesn't mean they're stiffs.
No.
They're first-round talents.
Yeah, talent. But they both not lived up to first-round draft status.
Inconsistent talent, right. And some of the fundamentals are lacking.
And make some of the more unbelievable mistakes and or errors or judgments that you'll ever come across.
And I think that the mistakes or judgment things are more subtle for a safety than they are for a running back. When you sit there and say he dances in the backfield for no gain, okay, everybody sees it. It's there. It's Maroney, the ball carrier, no gain. Well... You might not look at the angle that Merriweather takes when he's going after a guy who puts him in a position where he dives and barely gets a hand on a guy. To me, a safety can't be put in that position and miss that kind of a play.
Unless Sean Springs points it out. We don't often know when he blows the coverage.
But no one sits there and says,
right,
Brandon Merriweather on the missed tackle. It's a less tangible thing to qualify. I think there's a ton of similarities between those two guys.
Swig writes in. Hey, Swig, how you doing? Just dropping a note to let you know, despite my infrequent phone calls, I still listen to every show.
Good.
You got to love the podcast. I flew up to the Cape a few weeks ago to visit my dad. We made the pilgrimage up to Gillette to watch training camp and visit the hall.
It was a good time.
I stopped by the PFW booth and asked if you guys would be around. And the kid working the booth looked at me like I had three heads.
That's a common theme in these.
At least the
third one. Stopped by the booth, asked where the guys were. What guys?
What guys?
Later, I
Mike
spotted
and
Andy's head up on the grassy knoll behind your velvet ropes, but we were on our way out.
Those ropes aren't velvet.
So,
just regular ropes.
Swig lost
might
his
as well
opportunity.
Be.
Yeah, so...
we might need to teach the interns or whoever that run our tent next year
where
who
the
we
talents.
Are. Because we've had a number of emailers say, I went to the tent and asked for where the guys were. They said who.
Who?
And why isn't Carol telling them who? Telling the
well, I think she was probably one of them. Or she said, who? Huh. You ever hear her deal with customers? It's questionable at best.
Always ends with profanity after she hangs up the phone.
She slams the phone down.
Chris in Stamford, you were making some roster predictions on Tuesday, and a lot of the bubble players ended up on the practice squad. So let me ask a similar question in a different way. What will New England's practice squad look like in September? Does Thomas Williams still have eligibility? Would Sergio Brown or Dane Fletcher make it through waivers? What guys would you like to have, and who do you think will make it? Looking forward to a healthy night for all players involved.
Well, I think Sergio Brown makes the team.
I think he'll be on the practice
53
squad.
53-man.
Oh, yeah. I think he'll be on the practice squad.
But he is a good candidate for the loan. But sooner or later, isn't the streak going to end of undrafted players making the team?
Well, yeah.
And wouldn't the years when you drafted 24 players really be
See, this is
close
why I
to,
nod.
Well,
that's why I nod. When he says something,
I mean,
I'm
back
thinking,
when they drafted six, okay, so maybe a undrafted rookie makes it. When you got 24.
I'm going to look at the kickoff team tonight. Starting kickoff team. If Sergio Brown is still on it tonight, he makes the team.
Well, I think you need to get rid of somebody if you're going to do that. I think you need to get rid of a safety.
All right, let's stop.
And I don't mean get rid of that. I mean, you mean just make a trade. You got to get something.
Let's slow down here before we start getting rid of safeties.
And it wouldn't be a surprise cut.
I would be surprised if James Sanders got cut.
I'd be surprised with a cut for anybody. Not traded, though, because I think that's the deepest position on the team.
Maybe Baltimore can trade for him. Everybody thinks it's a corner, but to replace Ed Reed.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you're not happy with Zbikowski?
No.
Paul in London.
Wait a minute. Oh, okay. I wanted to know what we thought would be the practice squad.
Rod Owens, I think, has a chance.
Rod Owens. Yes. I think Sergio Brown and Dane Fletcher would absolutely get through waivers and get and land on your practice squad if you wanted them to.
I've heard some good things about Dane Fletcher.
I've heard a lot of good things about both of them, but they're undrafted players.
What exactly have you heard about Dane Fletcher?
He's got a lot of upside.
From us. He's heard it from us. We like him.
But I do like him, but there's not a ton to brag about, base it on, project it.
No.
He hasn't done that much. He's been hurt.
Smart player.
I think you have a chance.
I liked his getting to know profile.
How do you know he's a smart player? For all I know, he's dumb as dirt.
See, I like that one, too. Andy didn't like that one.
Really?
That was one of my favorite ones, was Dane Fletcher's. I thought he was
So great. Now we're going to put him on the team because he had a nice getting to know?
A total aside. Why does he start talking fast?
Because he's Mr. Hyperbole. You know how he is.
Unbelievable.
We all do this, and I just you guys really like Fletcher. What do we like?
I like the
what
fact
have
that
we
Bill
seen?
Said he made a surprisingly quick transition.
But other than that, what exactly do we like? He's 6'2", 240. He looks like a normal guy out of Montana.
I think he looks like he moves pretty well for an inside linebacker.
Sure. They're a dime a dozen. So does Thomas Williams. He moves pretty well.
I've seen him get his hands in the passing lanes a couple times, and 7-on-7s and stuff like that.
When his hand is dirt, do you stick his foot in the ground?
I
think he's going to throw some other terms.
He's got good triangle numbers. He gets through the trash well.
Fights through the wash.
He scrapes the ceiling.
He can run unders and overs and overs and unders.
The technique will get the zero technique. You got a two-gap. There's a two-gapping. That's our lead-in. Did you see the press release for that, by the way?
Yeah, I saw that.
What press release?
Press release for our show.
What show?
On the Comcast.
Our show.
When is our show?
The first week of the season?
I don't know how to get the releases.
I didn't get the release either.
Shouldn't they
I read
be,
it
like,
from someone else.
Contacting us about doing stuff?
Yes. It's September 9th, the first show.
Yeah.
And it's what day, what time? Thursday?
Thursday's at 7:30.
Yeah. And they're going to repeat it at 9.
I've always wanted... Oh, so I am in prime time.
Yeah.
I've always wanted to say I'm in prime time.
You're in prime time. Thursday's at 9.
All right. Repeat. Rod Owens, Dane Fletcher.
Yep.
Sergio Brown.
Mm.
Who's the offensive line?
Men?
Yeah. It's got to be one of them. Maybe Welch?
Bus?
Yeah, I'll say Welch.
Bus has eligibility.
Plays guard and tackle, second straight year. Bus? Can I put Rob Myers on?
Rob Myers we had on. I'm trying to think of the guys that we picked in our preview. I think we had...
Wait, you got a mouse in your pocket?
Kyle...
Did you consult with me on that?
The practice squad?
Yeah.
Well, you read it. I assume that you... weighed in with your thoughts.
No, it had your byline on it. It's your story. Didn't say by we. Said by Paul Perillo.
Because much like the rest of the issue that week, Paul Perillo wrote it.
Wow. Oh, my God.
Wow.
Let's read an email.
So am I going to be yelling out, anyone else but Paul write for this issue?
No, that was
you've already read this issue. Well, supposedly.
The only thing, you read it all on Friday when we were all in siesta.
Paul in London says, hey, men of PFW and Eric, just a couple of questions
classic.
And a game. First off, I've been on vacation, but my last act was to buy Andy and Paul lunch while the other two guys were in Atlanta. I'd like to thank
Lusting Kev after Brian Finneran
for his help, and I've got him to put me down for another lunch in the week before the Jets game. Who is this year's undrafted free agent who makes the roster, Fletcher or a guy like Jenkins or Brown?
Sergio Brown.
Eric is madly in love with Sergio Brown.
No, okay. I'm just saying. The guy's been on the kickoff
Sergio.
Team from the beginning.
It's very continental.
Serge.
If you're on the ones on the special teams, you make the roster.
It could be.
You sure about that? Do you know from fact that all 11 guys that were on last year's Week 3 kickoff team were on the roster?
I don't know.
Because I'll
that.
Ask Mike Reese, and he'll have the answer.
He probably would. Yeah, you're right.
I'm going to go to him tonight in the press box.
I'm going to guarantee you this is the response you're going to get. Andy, that's a good question. I'll check on that.
I think Crumpler will be an important player this year. His experience can only help the two young guys as well. Hope you to email you next week as well, and let's hope for a beating tonight of the Lambs.
Sam Chise.
So, Crumpler, what do you think his production will be like? You know, a lot of people lately been
catches?
Talking about his
20.
Off-the-field leadership and all that stuff, but
20 catches.
And he'll block, and he'll run out a little bit, but yeah, he won't be a big numbers guy.
No. Listen, I'm not an expert on that kind of stuff, but in listening to some people talk, he has been crushing people on the edges. And I haven't necessarily, I mean, saw the one glaring one in the long touchdown run for Fred Taylor. But by all accounts, he's killing people and really been a big part of that production that they've had on the ground. But
so
I don't think,
have a 2,000-yard rusher?
Do you think he'll catch many more than 20 passes? No. I think 20 no. is a probably a
I think
high
it's a bit, yeah,
over-under.
Bit high.
I think he'll be probably in the
teens yeah, mm. if that.
But he can catch the ball. There's no doubt about that. He hasn't lost those skills.
Oh, yeah.
Andy's line about Michael Vick is, I think, accurate. He's used to catching fastballs thrown all over the place from Michael Vick.
It's like those drills when you see the guys at those, what is it? API or where they throw tennis balls at fast and you got to
react. From behind you?
He was doing that on an NFL field for like 4 years.
Remember when Daboll used to throw the bullets at the guy's feet on purpose? That's what he was doing live.
You know, Mike Vick was on Pros versus Joes. Saw that in the guide last night.
Wow. That's not a guy I would want to face in a Pros versus Joes.
Especially if you're a dog.
Mike writes, he's from Philly.
Really? Mike Wright listens.
And he says, I'm absolutely appalled by the owners approving the proposal to expand the NFL season to 18 games.
Whoa.
I don't think anything.
They didn't even vote on it.
They didn't, no. They didn't
the only thing they voted on was Stan Kroenke.
But anyway, he goes on to say, nobody loves the NFL more than me.
Which, by the way, pretty good life when you own three major sports teams.
No, Paul, it's K-Force.
And I know he's going to give them up and not really own the Nuggets.
No,
and
his son. He gives them up
right,
to his son.
But, I mean, how much money do you have to own three professional sports
franchises? Really got to love those NFL guys. They're sticklers for the rules.
Yeah. $1 billion.
Give it to your son.
No, he just bought the Rams for $750 million. So he's got to have at least $1.5 billion invested in franchises.
He owns the Nuggets and the Avalanche, too.
Yes, I do
yes,
know that.
Yes, we know what you were doing. He broke his machine. He can't
this
do
is
sound
what, That's
anymore.
Why I was trying to...
This is what you're doing.
This is what I want
anyway,
to do.
Anyway, Kev... Let's see. Mike goes on. Nobody loves the NFL more than me, Kev. And the more the better, but I just don't think the players should be taking any more pounding than they already do. It's just despicable of the NFL owners to push for two more regular season games on one day and then claim they are really concerned about the effects of the NFL action on player mental health and well-being. I respect Bob Kraft as much as any owner in sports, but it's hard to continue when he says things like, there's not a lot of ways in this economic environment we can generate incremental revenues. That's the best way. Let me translate this from rich guy speak to plain English. We want more money. In a crappy economy, we're making less than we did before, despite massive TV deals signed before the economic meltdown, so we're going to force our employees to work more at risk to their long-term health. While the rest of America is trying not to lose money, we don't care if your massive profits are slightly smaller than before. And to claim you are deeply concerned about the concussion issue, then switch two preseason games, which involve mostly backups or guys with short careers, to regular season games your starters must play, well, that's just horse you-know-what. Plain and simple. Keep up the good work. Actually, keep up the good work, Eric, Paul, and Andy. Fred, keep being a screw-up. It gives the rest of us hope that we can befriend a rich Irish guy and fall ass backwards into a well-paid job while still being clueless about the world around us, wearing socks with sandals and a Hawaiian shirt.
Just as an update, Fred's
Ouch.
Got sandals on without socks today.
He does.
I do, and my shirt's not Hawaiian.
Hey, Fred, I hate to interrupt you, but we've had a guy on hold for like 40 minutes now. Should we let him speak?
Yeah, why not? It's Matt from Oregon.
Oh, tree hugger.
Hey, Matt.
He's not on hold.
He's
there?
Gone, I guess.
Oh, okay.
Gee, I wonder why.
Or maybe he's asleep.
Sorry about that.
Tree hugger.
Isn't Matt the elk guy?
Yeah, Matt.
MMA guy.
Elk. Matt's a made man.
Yep.
Yep.
He's a really made man. He
oh,
shot
wait, that's
the
not Treehugger. Oh, Matt from Oregon. I thought it was the other guy from Oregon.
No, Matt Cox.
Matt, that's right, yeah.
Yeah.
He's the
Matt who?
The hunter.
Matt Cox.
His name is Cox?
I said Cox.
He's big in Oregon.
Andy's getting a pants tent.
Cox is pretty big in Rhode Island, right? But, again, they've not passed or voted on anything.
No. No, you're a Cox subscriber.
If you were listening to the show earlier, Fred brought up the greatest point ever. It's all a facade. They're going to pull it back.
Well, he thought it may be. What if it is?
Well,
he brought a
honestly, Mr. Kraft told the AP yesterday, I don't see any way that this cannot be part of the new CBA or whatever, to paraphrase.
Right.
I mean, that really hammers it home. I'm saying it can't be done without this,
right?
Which gives us something major. I mean, you're a genius, Fred. Every once in a while, home run.
Let me ask you this before you move on to the next one. Yeah. They keep talking about they want to. Well, it's about the 18-game schedule.
Okay. All right.
It's kind of relevant.
No, I didn't say
kinda,
no.
Kind of relevant.
I'm allowing it through.
I'll allow. They want to have.
But watch yourself, counselor.
They want to have increased revenues. Okay, we can all understand this. They can't get that revenue through the two preseason games, but what if, you know, it's all about TV, right? Because it's the national contract.
Right.
What if they just spread the schedule out a little bit longer, maybe added a bye week for everybody, so you're spreading the amount of weeks that regular games are being played, but you don't necessarily add a game?
No. Right.
Would that work for the
no.
I think for the money?
But Paul makes a good point. See, now again,
it's more
back,
weeks that you right. have NFL games
on. One of
on
the things they're talking
the
about is adding a bye week in this 18-game schedule. So all of a sudden, we take out the extra two games, but we keep the bye week in. You know, so
what?
You know, like, yeah, all these, you know, proposals can be taken apart, and elements of them
yeah.
can be used as a bargaining chip.
But if I were the TV networks, I'd say no, because if I add 2 weeks. They only like five teams. You know, they want the Patriots, the Colts,
Pack. One of those teams will be playing that week.
But some won't. I want to add, you guarantee me all 18 weeks I can have Peyton Manning. All 18 weeks I can have not watered down where I might have to watch Jamarcus Russell more than I want.
Well, either a Brady
Well, I thought
Manning.
That all the teams were good. I mean, your last argument.
I've jumped that ship.
Okay. I was just throwing it out there.
No, it's valid. Stephen, and I'm glad I let it through. Stephen and Warwick University, UK.
Watch yourself, counselor.
That's not Warwick, Rhode Island. It's Warwick in the
Done.
UK.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
he's also on Pros versus Joe's.
Hakeem
Warwick.
Warwick Dunn.
Andy probably saw in the UK last year, rugby is played without any pads or helmets.
Oh, yes.
And the direct result is that you need to tackle with your arms, keeping your head
exposed.
Head out of the way instead of just diving head first into each other.
Yep.
As a result, I'm pretty sure rugby has significantly less concussions and other head injuries than the NFL.
Certainly documented.
The assumption is usually that more padding and protection improves player safety, but this is very misleading. Economists study what is called moral hazard, which is when people tend to take more risks and act in a more dangerous fashion when they think they are protected from the consequences. Think about the subprime mortgage market, for example.
Tiger Woods.
The same applies for the NFL, where players will deliberately hit, leading with their head, mistakenly presuming the helmet will protect them from the consequences. That's exactly what you're saying,
yep.
Andy.
Yep.
Well, and I know there's a big thing about this, and I know, how much you like it when I do this, but in college hockey, they back in the late 70s, early 80s, they instituted face masks. It used to be they just wore helmets with the visors, the shields.
Now everybody dives in front of pucks?
Well, you know, that started, but everybody, a lot of the veteran coaches, guys like Jack Parker at BU that were around for the days before they had the shields, the reckless nature that players go into corners now is higher than ever. They treat their bodies like missiles. And there's, you know, obviously the Travis Roy situation with BU about 15 years ago. He was paralyzed for life. Like literally 8 seconds into his career, by going into the corner after a loose puck, hitting his head in the corner, and he had all kinds of spinal issues and whatnot. But a lot of the college hockey purists believe that's why, because the players have this brazen attitude with this shield on that they think they're impenetrable, and certainly you see that with defensive backs in the NFL all the time.
Or when people drive SUVs in the snow and drive 100 miles an hour. They
four-wheel Joe. SUV.
I like to call those guys right. four-wheel
yeah.
Joe, Andy.
Well, you slip just as much.
The safety only comes in when you drive the way you were driving before.
Right.
When you increase what you were doing before, you decrease. You know, it's just just ridiculous. It is one of my pet peeves, too.
Four-wheel right. Joe.
So now they have to go back to leather helmets. That's the answer. Yeah.
All right, or horses.
Driving SUVs, we need to wear leather helmets. I don't
Luckily, you still have yours.
Fred laughed.
He's my target audience.
Harry
Morons
in Maryland.
Of a feather.
Harry in Maryland.
Wow.
Harryland.
I noticed
really
we do have...
Taking off on the Eastern Shore.
We do have less callers, although we had the one. I let him go.
So we would have had the same
and
amount.
And he's one of the few good callers.
Yeah, he's a pretty good caller.
Yeah, there was an error on our part. Yeah.
You didn't have your Google Talk.
Well,
thing,
I did.
I did type it in the Google.
No,
Talk.
Him. He didn't have it in.
No, it might have flashed. I don't know.
It was flashing. I was looking at the screen just
every once in a while.
Like Ron
so
Brace?
Sometimes I think it's a flash.
Ron Brace last week in Atlanta. He flashed. It might have flashed.
Let's see. Who's this now? Did I say this was?
Yeah, I don't think you did.
Harry and Maryland.
Oh, yeah.
Harryland.
Harryland.
Harryland. That's what I
said.
Since you are media guys, how about a few media questions?
Sure.
One, if I ask Belichick, is Gronk strong enough to break tackles? Bill says all players have to be strong to get to this level. If I ask Belichick, does Gronk's style compare to Mark Bavaro? I will either get a Mark Bavaro story or he may allude to one or two things that they have in common. Am I a fool for thinking I can get Belichick to talk?
Yes.
No, you're not. I think that the right questions will elicit a good response.
The questions will always elicit the response Bill wants to offer up.
Yeah.
I will not pull anything from Bill
that he doesn't want pulled from him.
That's one of them Freudian slips
there.
I think your comparison there is, I mean, it's way too early, but you're right. I like it. The Gronkowski-Bavaro thing?
Hey, yeah. He hasn't been here this year. He's been at every other camp.
No, I don't know about every other camp, but I haven't seen him at all this year. I like that comparison.
Maybe to avoid
the Andy's right. You might ask him on a day where he decides, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Or you might ask him on a day where he just said he's looking to pump up Gronkowski.
Right.
Case in point. Last year, Andy said, can Darius Butler play offense? Yeah, I think you could see him do that.
Oh, yeah.
Eric said
about six weeks later,
bitch slapped by the head coach.
I just think
same question.
Bill's one
people.
Of those guys. He's going to tell you what he wants to tell you on that particular
is that
day.
The question or Eric?
And some of the best answers that I think that Bill has ever offered up, in my opinion, have been off some of the worst questions ever. Yeah. I mean, you could say like, "Hey, what kind of camp is Lawrence Maroney having?" Which to me is a terrible question,
right?
And you might get the best answer that you've ever heard.
Yeah, just, I'd love to, Andy.
There's no rhyme or reason for it.
Now, can you play Eric's now?
Eric, you've broken your boycott. You're now asking questions.
I thought there was going to be a cherry involved there.
Jesus. You don't break your cherry. You
I know,
it.
But I thought you were going to have... You usually have a unique spin on those
break
types
your water
of
if you're pregnant.
Oh, lubricant. Okay, proceed.
Right?
Yes.
Lubricants.
Have you ever been pregnant?
No.
Sure.
Second question from Harry in Maryland. Why do you say that Harryland. Question has to be asked for questions you know will get no answer? If they aren't going to answer and you're not going to force the issue, what benefit is there to asking?
You have to have the person on the record.
Yeah. You don't decide he's not going to answer. He has to decide he's not going to answer.
Right.
About news issues.
There's a certain amount of questions, usually every day, at least every week, that are relevant questions if you're a daily beat guy that you have to ask.
Yep.
Even though you know more often than not.
Just so the last time that Belichick said that he doesn't know, or let's take Brady, for example. Mark Capella in Atlanta. Brady came in, he talked. It was the first time he talked in a couple of weeks, I think. And no one had asked, what's the contract status?
Right.
So Capella felt obligated to do it, which is right. Brady said, I got basically nothing for you. But at least you can say now, as of this date, Brady said right. X.
And who knows? You could have gotten a, we've been talking.
Yeah, and you never know when you're going to get surprised. But more importantly for Harry, if you're the guy and you're trying to do your job, you can't sit there and say, so-and-so didn't comment on his, there's no information on Tom Brady's contract. Well,
how do you know?
You didn't ask.
Right.
So you don't really know.
Right. You have to ask.
You have to ask, even though 99% of the time you're not going to really get a whole lot.
Finally, Harry says, is the NFL Network showing too much football? I know a lot of people who watch the Red Zone on game day, and it seems this pulls fans from the regular broadcast, which would diminish the value of the contract.
The Red Zone channel is kind of a tricky thing.
Yeah.
But do you really think it keeps people from watching the game they're interested in?
I think the networks are worried about it, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
But
based on some of the stuff that I've heard.
Do you gain value in your own network and how that balances out? And I don't know all the numbers.
Well, certainly you do, but
I'm talking about the Fox guys and like the CBS guys.
No, I know. But I think the NFL says if I lose $1 million from Fox, I'm making $5 million on the NFL Network or whatever. They have to figure out where
it's
the
a fantastic channel, the Red Zone channel.
I've never seen it.
Yeah.
I've
never seen it.
I mean, if you're
I've never seen it.
If your team's not playing, like if you're a Patriots fan
and the Patriots game's over, there's no reason not to just flick over to Red Zone Channel for the rest of the day.
Now, I see, I still like watching whatever the game is, but now that they do the constant scroll of scores, you know where the ball is on games, and you know when to get there. And if it's a game, forget about it if you're in fantasy.
Yeah, for the fantasy geeks,
I can't
ridiculous.
Imagine those guys ever getting off that channel.
Nope. Doesn't happen in my apartment.
I thought I'd save
on that
trouble.
Channel.
But, you know, with fantasy, and I don't play fantasy, I know how it's played, but knowing what's happening with the players on your roster, you can't do anything about it. So you might as well wait till it's over and tally it up then, right?
Yeah, but that's not how it works.
Yeah, you want to see how they're doing, Fred.
Right. I know, but you can't, it's not like, oh, in the middle of a game, if a guy's not doing well, you can do anything about it.
So if you put $1 million on a game and bet on it,
you're going to
want to
know.
Wait till just I'll check the box score and see if I want
to.
All of a sudden, we go from playing fantasy to putting $1 million.
It's the same thing. It's the rush. Yes, it is. It's the rush.
Did I miss a good Andy Hart hyperbole?
In most leagues, there's a lot of money involved anyway.
It's a competitive financial. He's right.
People like it, Fred.
I know they like it.
You don't like it. I don't really like it.
Yeah.
And in general, as a football fan,
we're in the minority.
Most of the exciting times of the games happen when people are scoring. Like, that's what the fans want to see. So they'll just flip over to
no,
that
I
channel.
I know how Red Zone works. Yeah.
I'm just telling you, Fred.
Yeah. I see. Yeah.
There's no reason to stay and watch the
There's
Giants
some
and the Bills.
My
saying I've never seen Red Zone means I don't want to. I'm here.
The majority of the actual scoring plays in an NFL, a given NFL week, are not the most exciting plays.
If I was home, I'd have direct ticket, and I'd have red zone.
We'll be able to see some red zone this year, won't we?
What? What is it called?
Won't we able to see red zone this year
on DirecTV?
Okay. What?
Yes, in the stadium.
Won't we be able to see that this year?
Who?
The red zone.
Yes.
Are we getting it in the video boards? The new video boards?
Yeah, but only when they show it. It's not going to be constant.
Only when they show
Is that like Tom Brady's a leader when he's here?
My point is we'll be able to see it
get it
for
the first time.
I think on the new boards, too, we'll have like a stat ticker on the bottom that'll come up periodically through the game, and it will have fantasy stats in real time running, like a bottom line type thing, which will be kind of cool for
I don't like fantasy. I don't like
Yeah, but
for
the 70,000 people in the stadium
like
are going to want to know.
I like teams. I want to know if the Jets are losing. I want to know if the Colts are losing. I don't care if some guy has two touchdowns, you know?
They're marketing to who's in the stands.
I know,
and the majority
I know.
Of those people
I'm in the minority.
Know.
Fred and I are in the vast minority.
Yeah, I'm in the minority.
I actually wonder if I wasn't working and doing this, if I would maybe get involved in fantasy football.
If there was money involved, you would.
Well, of course there's money involved.
Yeah. No, big money.
Yes. Why would you get involved?
So why
in
was my gambling comparison so stupid?
It's not $1 million on a game.
There can be.
There's a lot of money involved.
There are high stakes.
It's like $100 a team, at least.
Are you doing the knockout this year again?
I am.
Okay.
Why?
I'm just wondering.
I actually
it's
I got
always good on the bus when Paul's
I got an invitation for a college knockout this year. But there's only 20 teams that are allowed to be used.
Oh.
So
top 20 teams?
Yeah, well, yeah, they're the 20 like
that makes it
higher range programs. Yeah. I'm intrigued by that.
Well, no. I would stay away from Notre Dame.
I'm intrigued by that. Same kind of rules.
You're intrigued by a dice game in the alley in Everett.
You're absolutely right. I'm guilty as charged. I'm telling you, if they ever do legalize the casinos in Massachusetts, it could be an issue.
Uh-oh.
I'm already over a whole hour ride back and forth from my commute. That means you could put the casino in a lot of
different
places.
Pretty much anywhere, and it's on your way home, quote-unquote.
Where it could be dangerous.
What's your game of choice?
Blackjack.
Okay.
Devil's game.
Easy, Phil.
Degenerate behind the glass over there.
Yeah, you got a big degenerate behind the glass.
Oh, man. Oh, I like blackjack,
You
too,
like
though.
Blackjack?
No, I don't like it. I wouldn't say I like it.
What
but
do you
I,
play?
I play poker. But, I mean, I'd go.
I hate that.
I'd go up.
I'm with you, Paul.
I'd go up poker. And steam off, like, $200 or $300 at the blackjack table after you lose at the poker table.
Steam off. Wow. Now, that deserves a... From you. Where are you?
What a beast.
Steam off. I don't
like roulette. I know it's a sucker's game, but I enjoy
I love
playing.
Watching craps.
Yeah, it is fun.
I don't really have any idea how to play, but I love watching a guy get on a roll at the craps table. It's very exciting. Just like they have it on TV. That's the way it really is.
It's usually a lot of scenery around those tables, too,
Paul.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Oh, and then you get some
of
the scenery
blowing on dice.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But what? Yeah. What?
What?
What? You
know. Yeah, your guy from last week probably plays craps with his harem surrounding the table.
He probably does.
Oh, I'm sure.
Lucky.
Yep.
Mother?
Probably has a little casino night on his boat.
Paul, I was
probably.
I actually had, before I started here, I played so much poker that I would get
poker
two
face.
Free rooms a night, or a week.
Do we do a background check on this guy?
Well, that's,
I don't know. Yeah. I don't think you do background checks on anyone that
nope.
goes on this show.
Well, in his defense, he wasn't involved in this one.
Two nope. free rooms where? In,
at Foxwoods, per week.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm not a...
Two? Why two?
No, I mean like two
away.
Nights.
Oh, two nights.
It's far enough away from
so
me.
So you a good player? That's
I'm all right.
What do you play, the River
Foxwoods?
Game? Yeah.
No, I just play...
I haven't been,
yeah,
I haven't been
Texas
in
Holden.
Years.
Texas
the River
yep.
Game.
I don't even remember the last time I went to Foxwoods, but when I do, I play blackjack.
I think,
but I find the Texas Hold'em very quite boring.
Yeah, well, you could sit there for literally a day and have not much happen, but I mean...
I don't like it.
Then there are other times where you go on awful swings.
You play
roulette?
Yeah, the tournaments I play in are at Mohegan, and then I play...
You ever win?
I've won a few tournaments for a couple thousand
you.
Bucks.
Most, you won a couple thousand?
Yeah.
That's good.
Talk to yourself. Then we
watch
can
yourself.
Go.
Let's see.
With.
Owen in Belfast.
Time
Ireland.
Out. Time out.
What?
What's the most you ever lost?
In one day?
In one casino
the
trip,
question
weekend,
really
weekend,
asked.
Let me guess.
Night,
let me guess.
Day,
the
yes.
important question.
Well, it depends
which
on...
Which everybody
guess.
Always talks about.
Four
liars.
Figures. Made a killing.
Four figures?
Yes.
Has a comma in it?
High, yes, high four figures?
That's ridiculous for a kid your age.
Mid four figures.
Mid four
Commissioner
figures?
Commissioner Goodell on line one.
Mid four figures on line.
For a kid your
on,
age,
on,
that's ridiculous.
Online, I was 19.
Where did you have...
Steve, I'm chastising
online.
You.
Online.
Steve, Phil, Kevin, I'm chastising
out,
you.
Out of, my, out of my dorm room at the University of Massachusetts.
Parents'
Amherst.
Credit card.
Oh, this is a surprise.
Yeah,
you
how did, you, did you pay it off?
Oh, yeah. No, I had the money in the account to lose. I put in $150. I worked it up to almost 10 grand, and I lost all of it in the span of like 2 weeks.
You got up to 10 grand, and you lost it all?
Yes,
didn't
sir.
Cash out,
out of 100, out of 150 bucks. I got kind of addicted to the rush, and I was playing $500 heads-up matches against people in like Japan
see,
and stuff.
This is why I'm okay, because I don't fall into those.
A college kid
I'm a very,
makes 10 grand out of a $150 investment.
I'm a very conservative gambler.
Let it ride.
Wow.
That's what
but
happened.
But I do like it.
And
if
that's
I don't
why
tell you, I'm involved in 16
that's,
pools
that,
at once.
That's why going to the casino is better for me because I know I'm only going to lose like $300, $400, $500 at the very most. So
what are you talking about? They have stations at Foxwoods where you can remortgage
yeah,
your house.
But I will only go and play Texas.
You can?
Like I'll
yeah.
only go play.
Why don't I
Holden.
Go down there for a refi? I'm sure I'll get a good rate.
They have ATMs everywhere.
And, no,
that,
that's
maybe 11.625%.
That's the secret, Eric. You don't bring your ATM card. Absolutely not. That's the worst mistake you can make.
Or you just have some self-control.
Well,
and
when
say,
I, go,
all right,
when I used to go, I go to Vegas at least once a year. I'd always have the amount that I planned on losing.
Your allowance.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
And my thing is if you double it or lose it all, you're done for the night.
Well, if you lose it all, you're done.
No, but if you double it,
he's saying
you stop.
Walk away when
yeah.
you double
walk
it.
Walk away when you double it.
You should walk away.
See, yeah,
Eric's right. That's what you have. If you, have to, you go there and you say, I have $300 I'm planning on gambling with tonight, when that's gone, you don't say, let me see if I can get some of that back.
Right.
That's when you get in trouble.
Right.
And Paul, when you play blackjack, you have to have a set number in your mind, whether it's double or triple, and then you walk away because you're inevitably going to lose it all.
From a table,
yeah.
From a table, I generally go with if I lose three hands in a row, I get up and walk away.
See, that's good strategy. My uncle, who just paint, will just sit there and just you know just lose.
I don't have a lot of
hundreds.
Rules, but that's usually one of them.
Unless you don't have rules,
unless it happens really quickly, like I might cash in a couple of hundred and lose, you know. You know, I might win one, lose one, and then lose three in a row or something. I'm not going to get up and leave. I just start.
Yeah. It's a long drive home.
But if I've been playing for a half and no. You get up and go to another table.
Oh, okay.
But also, the big piece of this, too, is, like, how much are you wagering per hand? Is it, like, $10, or are we talking about,
usually
like, 50?
20, 25,
okay.
usually.
Okay.
Because you can't get on the $5 and $10 yeah. tables.
That's
true.
You have
true.
To do 25 at...
Yeah. Yeah, Foxwoods and stuff, 25 is usually wide open.
Well, it depends when you go.
That's true. Well, if you're staying there...
You and the blue hair show up at 7 a.m. No, if you go at like 10 o'clock on a Wednesday
that's
night,
true.
You can get a $5 or $10 table.
If you're staying there for 3 days, yeah. there's plenty of time.
Not a lot, though. It's been years. I don't even remember the last time I went.
Yeah. Hey, when did you have your party?
2 years ago, last year.
Andy had a party?
That was around the time my brother-in-law had his bachelor party down there. That might be the last time I played.
Foxwoods has a new billboard I like. Hotter than the sun?
Oh, yeah?
I like that. That's a good slogan.
That's actually kind of catchy, actually.
You know,
yes.
No
small
less.
Competition. I
right.
see
small
what
less.
No
right.
one appreciates right. the pun like Andy Hart.
Right.
Owen and Belfast.
That's why I didn't like our cover this week.
They have some hotties on there, though, too?
No, I think...
Poor Fred's trying to read the emails.
He lost interest.
Don't blame me.
A lot of emails.
Don't blame us for what these nitwits say.
For your little Vegas... Oh, I go to Vegas every year. I was cool.
I used to ride my motorcycle.
More than once a year.
You know, three tickets.
More than once a year, Fred?
Banging cocktail waitresses.
And you wouldn't gamble?
I did. I said
okay.
I love playing roulette.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you have any good Vegas stories?
I played blackjack a few times, and I just pissed people off.
Because probably you're not
one of
play.
Those guys. I don't play.
Were
by
you
the
hitting
rules.
On 17?
I agree.
You play against the dealer.
Those rules you really should follow at a table.
Screw that.
You should exactly. You're playing against the dealer.
I agree. Yeah, it's my money.
I don't care what this guy's doing. I'm playing the dealer.
I'm with Fred.
My money's all about etiquette.
If you put your 25 down,
there is an etiquette.
There shouldn't be. That's wrong. If I put my 25 down, I bought in just like he put his. It's the same value.
But you don't lose on purpose. You play by the. It's
the percentages. Who says it's on purpose?
The quote unquote.
He's not trying to lose. He's not burning his money in front of him.
But you're misunderstanding. The quote unquote rules, the etiquette, are the percentages in your favor.
I don't care. Those people that get mad at
you. You're giving yourself the best chance to win.
Hate.
In other words, you don't hit on 17.
Hate. So I could never win.
Of course you could.
Thank you. I could win. So you're saying there's a chance.
No, we're no,
I could win.
By
one
staying
in a
on set, you have a better
doesn't matter.
Chance.
If I
you
want that to be my entertainment for the tonight, I put
if the
that
dealer's showing
down
a 10,
just like you did.
Yeah. If the dealer's showing a 10, shoot your best shot.
They should have expert tables where it says, do not come if you're a novice. Or
hit
something.
On 16.
But everybody, these guys take over these tables, and it's like it's their personal
table. Even,
now I'll flip the side here. I hate those guys even more. The guys who think they have to police the table.
Yeah.
Right. I want to fight all of those guys.
Right.
Shut up. Let the guy play.
So
he
Paul,
made a mistake.
I could see Paul if we all went to Vegas.
Yeah, this is what needs to happen.
Wait a minute. We all need to go to Vegas.
Paul
would get into a fight with the guy that he actually agreed with.
No.
He would agree with
do,
the guy's principal, but he'd be mad that the guy spoke
he'd
up.
He'd get
so
mad at the guy that's running the table, and then the next person would do something he didn't like, and then get mad with the novice. He's like,
no.
Rules. Talk about rules. If you don't play it Paul's way,
you're
wrong.
See, you think it's fun. To just play wildly and stupid.
Yes. No.
It's
entertainment.
You're affecting the rest of the table.
That's
you're not
okay.
helping your chances
don't
to
let
win.
Me in. You
you're
let me
hurting
in
your chances.
You should
to
have
win.
A test then to figure
IQ
out
test.
Who's allowed to play at the table.
No. See, that's.
I thought this was all entertainment. We were all spending our money to be
it's
entertained.
It's not, though.
But
it's entertainment.
But you're trying to win money.
If you're trying to make
right,
money,
you should have expert tables where
everybody
can go.
People honestly do it for a living.
I know you're not supposed to count cards or anything, but if you're playing by the rules, right?
Yes.
But if you kind of get a hint, like if you just get a gut feeling,
yeah.
I do have 17, but you know what? I think I might want to take this hit because I think
but
I
can get
a 4.
But you're not allowed to do that because all the experts.
No, yes, you are.
But
you're absolutely allowed to
and
do that.
And if you do that and some person makes a snide remark down the end of the table, you just got to ignore it.
Yeah.
Because you're not playing that person.
Yeah, exactly.
You're not
Bites
playing
like
that person.
Paul.
You're playing the dealer.
I've never been in even an argument.
I was
argument.
With a guy who used to work here in IT years ago. We went
who will go nameless?
We went to
Paul Concannon? Paul Concannon?
This guy was
you
want to
consider
a counter. He was a card counter. We would go at like 2 in the morning. And he would keep track of 3 tables and then swoop in and make a bet and win. And we got kicked out of Circus for him
Jeez.
Counting cards.
He counted 3
you
tables
get your legs
at once?
Broken,
yeah,
did you,
he,
Fred?
He would walk back and forth, keep track of 3 tables, and then swoop in. And they said, look, gentlemen, you can play any other table here, but you can't play blackjack.
He was like Rain Man.
Yeah.
That's idiot savant territory if he's doing 3 tables.
I say the PFW crew goes to Vegas, though. That'd be a fun trip.
Any trip to Vegas with anyone is fun if you do it right.
The ones that get you in
not
trouble.
With Eric. He went to take
pictures. I was waiting for it. I looked over
stayed
at
with
him.
A family, didn't even bang the daughter.
Him.
That's true.
Yeah. Jeez.
But, you know, it's like when you said, I
daughter was married with a kid, by the way.
I would
you
definitely
said she was
say,
hot, by the way. So yeah, she's bangable.
But, oh, she
let
married?
Paul
no, 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 no. I'm more interested in this.
Okay.
You didn't tell us she was married. This is a new development.
You didn't tell us she was hot.
I did. Yes, he did, because
yes,
I called her a MILF immediately.
Oh, jeez.
She has a kid, and she's hot. She's a MILF. And Eric did nothing. Much like last weekend, Eric did nothing. Eric's stories end the same way.
Whew. All right.
We can't all be bon vivants like you, Andy.
I'll get an email. Always get that boat with the shirt off.
Well, that's true. It's very true.
Plus, I don't know what a bon vivant is, so...
Owen in Belfast, looking
ignorance
forward
is
to
bliss.
The game tonight. Yes, there is a game tonight. Hoping to see more from Gronkowski. My question, G-force. Could each of you guys predict who you think will be the 3 stars of tonight's game? Who will be the 3 stars of tonight's game?
Is this hockey?
Sam Bradford, Steven Jackson, and James Laurinaitis.
Wow.
Everything but
I actually think just the opposite.
Now I'm going to go.
I think this game is going to be a carnage tonight. I think the Patriots are going to have like a
Randy Moss,
a 25 point lead when the starters leave.
G. Gronkowski.
The Jets call it
Ben Jarvis Greenhills.
Nah.
He's not going to play.
I think this
no?
could get
no.
really ugly.
G Force.
I don't think Gronkowski tonight.
I do.
Lomo.
Really?
Lomo.
That's
a good.
It's going to have a big game.
I think
tonight.
Brady will have a good night, and
I'll say Brandon Spikes.
And I think one of the defensive backs.
A defensive back is going to have multiple picks.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Hmm.
Brandon Spikes.
James Sanders?
Brandon Spikes tough, to the house.
This could be a tough night for Sam Bradford.
Sanders and somebody. Gustowski.
Sanders.
58-yard field goal to celebrate his new contract.
He's going
to
kick a field. Okay.
fancy.
What is the deal with Tyrone McKenzie? Will he make the team?
Yes.
And I don't have a problem with people calling in, but you're wasting valuable PFW time with Mike in Puerto Rico. Answer his emails by all means, but limit his phone calls. No offense, Mike. And Eric, I wrote Belfast, Ireland for a reason, not Belfast, UK. Get it right.
Ooh.
Wow.
Eric.
Whoa. What's that for?
For you.
I guess last time you're Eric. Read his email incorrectly.
Wow. It's tough.
Wow.
Belfast.
Look, he's actually, he's scrambling.
I don't remember it.
No.
I'm trying to remember
the last time I made a mistake.
I don't recall.
All right, well, that's going to do it for this edition of PFW.
Why don't I ask to get another?
Thanks for listening.
Can we do another hour?
Game tonight.
Game
everybody
day,
will be
special.
Watching, I hope. And we will talk to you. See you next Tuesday.
That'll do it. Another PFW in progress. We'll be back next week.
Yeah. God, yeah.
Patriots.com Radio.